On the heels of the phase-out of the PSP, one Sony chief speaks about rethinking mobile. Given the portability of the Nintendo Switch as well, we may be at a significant pivot point for mobile gaming. This is just one subject on a full night of gaming news. Join us for the rest, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Forge Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight with episode number 732 of our show for this May 27th, 2018. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined once again by Mr. Dark Sakura, Jamie Summers, in the house.
What did you throw?
Everything I possibly could.
If you threw a party, I was already at a party.
Old microphones. That's what I threw. I threw old microphones in the dumpster.
You know
what
was funny?
Huh.
With our new mics?
Yeah.
I actually considered going out and ordering myself a Pro Shure.
Why not? Hey, if you want, you can. Remember when Jason used to come to the show a lot? You know, our voiceover guy, Jason, if you don't know, who does the intro here, he would come to the show. He brought his own mic, and he sounds great on it. His very bassy tones that, you know, make him such a good announcer sound great. Which, by the way, he might be here next week.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I
should find where my Behringer mic went to.
Yeah.
But it was a good mic.
Good times. Anyway, it is a video game show, but I have to allow Dark Sakura at least 30 seconds to talk about DragCon. So you've been gone because you were at DragCon. So quickly, how is DragCon? Well, if there's anything like remotely video game related, you should probably bring that up too.
There is something because my phone died right after DragCon and I lost some of my photos.
Oh no.
I was very sad, including my ones with Mayhem Miller. I have my photos with Bible Girl 666, who I've been following on Twitter. She's never been on Drag Race.
I love Drag
Race. I got to meet Karen from Finance because my friend JJ is friends with her.
Oh, nice.
So I met Karen from Finance, who was a sweetheart.
She's Australian, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Latrice Royale and JJ gave her edibles and she was wonderfully happy. But get Victoria to finish the where are you going with your money story.
Okay.
Because she was at the season 4.
Okay.
Thing and asked her, well, Latrice said what happened after that. And it's not my story to tell.
All right. That would be a reference.
You know the story though, right?
I remember when Victoria yelled at her from the stage.
And Latrice says somewhere sensual.
That's right. Okay. I will ask.
Something sensual happened.
So Shaking and Crying is the show I do with Victoria. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus because I was on this special project that was taking way more of my time than it should have been. And then also I had my allergy stuff. My voice was like gone. Mm. Like it was really scary. So we've been off, but we should be back with Shaking and Crying this week. So I will get her to give me the whole story.
Her sponge dress got us in to see Monet Exchange.
Love it.
I'm still bitter, but I still love. I'm not mad at Cameron, but I'm bitter. I'll leave it that way.
Okay.
I literally, you know how like. Maybe this is going to be my DragCon Kojima event, but I ran into Ms. Cracker. Uh-huh. We both turned around at the same time and nearly ran face first into each other.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hi. She's like, I'm sorry, I got to go, and ran off. You know, because they have to bustle in between here and there.
Sure.
So Friday when, you know, we were back, I went to see Ms. Cracker. And I was like, you remember a girl in red glasses wearing a red, you know, who was, you know, rocking her inner Shirley Manson? That was you. That was me. I also met Dita Ritz that night, who was also
really
looked nice.
Great, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, I got to hang out with Mayhem for a little bit.
Okay. Any game stuff in here?
There's a little bit, bit. And I'll get to it because I met Yuha Hamasaki.
Okay.
And I was like. Like, the moment I found out about you, I was like, oh, my God, is it Ayumi? And she's like, yeah, totally Ayumi fan. I was like, so then are you a big fan of the Ayuro CD? She's like, yes, I am. I was like, so then if we're going to go any further than that, then are you a Eurobeat fan in general? She's like, yeah, I really like Eurobeat, you know, talking about the Initial D soundtrack. I was like, okay, cool. So Yuha was really nice.
Okay, so we got one drag queen that's an Initial D fan. Good.
Yeah. The White Horse was there, by the way, from the disco thing from All Stars.
Oh, right.
A Triumph car was there. That was really cool.
Right.
But there was a cosplay.
Okay. Oh.
So we had what's the character with the chainsaw from Undertale?
Oh,
that same cosplayer was at Gamer X, by the way.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of the character. It's not Comic or Sans. I know that.
We also had just a bunch of different. I think you're thinking Papyrus.
Toriel?
Yeah, Toriel.
Okay. I didn't get to that part.
No, not Toriel. It was...
Toriel was like...
Toriel's the goat one.
The little goat. Yeah.
This was like the robot one with the chainsaw that has the heart on their face. Right. But anyway, you know, and you know, Victoria walked in that too. There were just a few other really funny ones.
Metaton.
That was it. Metaton. Yeah. So, but it was, there was some cosplay. Oh, there was Digimon cosplay.
That's
this one queen.
Very random.
And I got this one picture, did Mimi from Digimon. And also, her name is, Anyonka, cause she misspelled it when she first made the name back in the day and kept it. But she does other video game and anime, cosplay and drag. And then there was an Anjay woman there the next day. And that's one of the photos I lost. I was so sad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was also, just other cosplayers. Like someone was there as, Rudy Rode from, The Fifth Element. Trixie was in booty shorts.
Rudy Rod, sorry.
Yeah. Trixie was in booty shorts buying from Morphe.
All right, I gotta read some of these comments from chat.
Wait, one last one?
All right, one last one.
Freaking Shangela comes in on a litter and sits on her throne like the motherfucking Khaleesi she is. All
right. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. And you guys can chat along with us at our chat room at live.vognetwork.com, where Nifty Swirl says, RIP GamerX. Maybe someday they'll reboot it. Yeah, we didn't really get into all that.
Not according from what's been coming from Matt.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, like, things are different now. Let's just put it out. Things are different now, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But here's the thing. I think a lot of the concepts that were brought up with that, you know, expo and everything, is bigger than any one person, you know? So, yeah. You know, because it says maybe they'll reboot it. Well, you know, I mean, I don't think you meant it this way, but I mean, you don't have to wait on any one person or one group to do this. Like, you can take these ideas and in the idea of that everybody should have a place to play video games, mm-hmm. and that it's not about excluding straight white men type of thing. It's about making sure you're including everybody else by welcoming folks to the table. And, you know, here at OLR, we've talked about how OLR, the way we envision the show is that we're all sitting at the big diner table after playing DDR, and we're trying to welcome all people to our table, right?
I still think that we should do diversity panels at conventions.
Yeah, so that's my thing, is that, you know, if there is not going to be another GamerX, and maybe there will, I don't know. I mean, obviously, things are different, so it's going to be interesting how that might work. But why not inject a little bit of that into every convention? And that would be something I would hope to see moving forward. And, you know, maybe it has already worked out a little bit. Like PAX has done a very good job with, you know, as critical as I am of that show sometimes on a bigger scale, the fact that they do that, the diversity lounge, and that they do try to have like that awareness there, and that they do have some of those panels, you know, that's cool. That's, you know, a big step forward. So that's, I guess those are my thoughts on that, because of course I was really sad just to see everything that, you know, went down with GamerX. But it's one of those things where I get it, you know, yeah. Like
there's a lot more involved than what's on the surface.
I'm sure. And, you know, so, okay, you know, things are different now. So how can we proceed as a community? Because those ideas were bigger than any one person.
You can
or three
start
people.
Changes right in your own local convention.
That's right. That's absolutely fucking right. So,
By the way, Bobby asked if I used the right hashtag, because see, DragCon put out a thing that said don't use DragonCon.
Yeah, they actually had a Jinx Monsoon in that video. She looked like she was so fucking high when she did that video. But yeah, they had the whole don't use DragonCon because of autocorrect or whatever it was. Use DragCon. Although they did acknowledge DragonCon is a real thing in Atlanta. Yeah.
But I used my right hashtag. Good. So everything was great. And we did it at Disneyland the next day. And I had a sad moment, speaking of games. Mm. The sign for the Starcade is still up.
Oh.
Yeah. We came out. They're doing Hyperspace Mountain right now, which is pretty fun. I mean, but yeah, they, I stopped and looked up outside Star Trader, you know, where the Starcade was. And I was telling JJ, who is also Miss Patsy Declined, where the Starcade was and what it used to be like. And then I looked up and was like, oh, holy shit, there's the sign. This was the Starcade, mm-hmm. and the whole thing's closed off now. So, you know, I pointed out like a few where things used to be, but there was the crappiest thing happened. We were going to do Big Thunder for our last ride when we got out from Blue Bayou.
Right.
And so we had time, so we were going to do Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion broke while we were in line.
Oh, no.
So then we went over to do our fast passes at Big Thunder, it broke down.
Oh, no.
So we didn't get to go on Big Thunder at all.
Aww.
And then we went over to do Indy, and it broke down. So our last...
And it still costs $105 to get a park hopper for Disney.
Excuse me. We did Jungle Cruise for our last one.
Okay.
With a tour guide who did not give a fuck.
In a good way or in a bad way?
In a good way.
Okay, good.
She started doing some of the jokes that they're not allowed to do.
Oh, good.
Like, I'm going to tell you my favorite one of them.
Okay. And then we have to introduce, there is a third person on this show we have to introduce.
When you go by the snake, like right before you get to Trader Sam, she's like, what kind of snake is this? I'll give you a clue. It starts with a P. We're like, Python. No, plastic. Because you're not supposed to break the 1800s.
Because I would have yelled penis.
Well, girl.
All right, but I have issues. All right.
She was like, do you want the thing? Because you can do it too. I was like, will you let me?
Look, we're 10 minutes into the show, and we need to introduce. But, of course, we've missed you for the past
and
couple
I
weeks.
Did play a shitload of pinball on Friday, but I'll tell you about that later.
All right, we'll get into our gaming weeks. But first, we got to get over to Techmaster Loki. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm here.
You are here.
Yes.
Yes, and you also have a new mic. It's New Mic Monday, except it's Sunday. So, New Mic Sunday. Here at
you
Studio OLR.
Mike on Sunday.
How was your week? Did you do anything exciting? Have you been doing anything with your long weekend?
Just having to deal with the kids. It's been just annoying.
I heard about the breakfast incident.
Oh, no. It's been all day. It's just been whining. Like, yesterday was whining about stuff, and then today has been whining about stuff. And God, I just don't want to deal with it anymore.
Well, you're only locked in for about another, 13 years before they go off to college? You can do it.
Well, I hope they won't be whining like this then. I mean,
teenagers are worse, Loki. What are you talking about?
Not teenage boys.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
And teenage boys have to be taught what consent is.
Yes.
Have to be taught, you know, things.
Yeah,
so,
but
teenage boys are just as much of a problem as teenage girls, and I was a teenage girl once.
I don't think those topics are going to be an issue for Loki's kids, but, you know, they got to stop whining. All right, anyway. We do, of course, again, tape live on Sunday nights, and you can join us in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. It's kind of quiet in there right now. I don't think a lot of comments on DragCon, except Sia Tabiri does say, Jinx would have been one of the queens who would have been more aware of what DragCon was than she seemed. There's a couple of
Tatiana is a gamer.
Well, there's a couple of the Drag Race alumni that'll, like, Dax exclamation points there every year, and some of the other, like, local... You know, people in Atlanta will be there, so. And I'll be there, so you should make plans to be in Atlanta Labor Day weekend.
By the way, I wanted to get a little pound cake doll.
Oh, love it.
And they were $100.
Oh, that's too expensive.
So, and I wasn't also going to wait in line for Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
But next year, when I go to DragCon, I'm cosplaying Little Pound Cake.
You should.
It is happening.
Do it. Anyway. In 2 weeks, speaking of Atlanta, I do want to give a shout out to this because Vogue Network is going to be sponsoring the weekend of June 8th and 9th, the Siege, or no, I'm sorry, not Siege. If I can even remember the name of it. Sorry, I got it confused with something else.
Siege in Atlanta.
No, it's something else. Sorry. It's the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. Different acronym. Southern Fried Game Room Expo is the thing. It's a 5-hour flight for me. That's why I'm not always the best at committing all these acronyms to memory. But the Southern Fried Game Room Expo is happening in Atlanta. And, you know, it's a lot like how we have California Extreme up here. Or that pinball thing that Jamie's going to talk about, where they have, like, classic game stuff. And then, of course, they do panels. Our very own Bobby Blackwolf here at the network is going to be moderating a panel with Billy Mitchell and Walter Day. And this is after many interesting things have happened with those two individuals. So that panel is going to be a lot of fun. So check that out. So that is happening in the Atlanta area in just a couple of weekends. Yes, thank you, Bobby. I got it.
Are they doing a panel on MAME?
I corrected myself. Are they doing a panel on MAME?
I mean, they don't know what it is, right?
That is for Bobby to determine when he's going to be the one asking those questions. So check that out.
What main version are you rocking in that cabinet over there?
Anyway, would you say your favorite musical on Broadway is Anti-Mame? Anyway, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight. This isn't like totally about video games, but it's something that a lot of people are talking about in the gaming community. It came up on our Discord, which you can join our Discord community at vognetwork.com/discord. That's all you need for the invite. And on the Discord, they were talking about this. It has to do with a nerdy show that I know a lot of people love, Doctor Who. And how it's a little bit adjacent to gaming is the fact that they're going to be bringing it to Twitch. Now, Twitch is mostly known as a gaming live streaming platform where you can play video games and people watch and you know, build your audience and interact with them and all that good stuff. But, you know, more and more Twitch has been getting into other stuff too, right? Like, you know, we know that they do competitive esports like Overwatch League. It's like you're watching something on ESPN or something, but it's on Twitch and it's about a video game. Or even the more IRL stuff like talk shows like this one, competitive eating sorts of things.
Competitive eating while doing a talk
yes,
show.
Yes, right. Competitive eating while doing your talk show and all that. And, of course, Twitch and marathons, not completely unheard of because we had a Bob Ross marathon that was pretty legendary over there, right? I don't know if you guys watched the Bob Ross marathon as much as I did, but it's one of those rare instances where, like, chat was a good thing. Like, usually with a marathon like this, I'd be like, don't fucking read the comments. Don't read chat. It's going to be a cesspool. But, like, the Bob Ross one was like really fucking good. Like every, because you know how Bob Ross is so quiet and timid when he paints and, you know, makes these happy little trees.
I can't believe he was ever a drill sergeant.
I know, right? It's yeah. Like, oh my God. But anyway, so he used to, you know, he used to say like, oh, we're going to dip this paintbrush in the water. Then we're going to beat the devil out of that brush. We're going to beat the devil out of that brush. And then the whole chat would light up going, RIP devil hacks, you know, like all this stuff, like really funny shit. So, I'm very excited to see what happens when Doctor Who shows up on Twitch. Now, here's the thing. I think when most of you think of Doctor Who in these days, you're thinking of like David Tennant and, you know, who are the other people that play Peter Capaldi and Christopher Eccleston, Matt Smith. Okay, yeah. It's one of those things like my train isn't derailed. My train is just moving slowly tonight. Like I'm thinking of things like 5 seconds after they leave my mouth. Anyway, so most people think of the newer Doctor Who stuff, but actually that is not a part of this marathon, okay? So that was the reboot that started in 2005 that's actually still going. But anyhow, so that's not a part of it. But Doctor Who actually started, what, 1963?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a very much older show.
With Mr. Hartnell.
So the episodes that aired between 1963 and 1989 are going to be on Twitch starting on May 29th. What they're going to do, they're going to do an 8-hour block 3 times a day. So if you miss something, you can catch it again. You have like a chance to catch it again before they're rotated out.
I wonder if they're going to do any of the recovered footage from the BBC Purge for the second Doctor.
Yeah, I heard about that. The ones that were lost.
They found audio and then did animated versions to that audio.
Yeah.
And then there were other that they tried to restore that were people filming their televisions.
Mm-hmm.
A few roles were recovered, but yeah, the BBC did a big purge of like a lot of their old television episodes, and some of it was Second Doctor.
They have not said if these episodes are a part of it or not.
Just care about Fourth Doctor stuff, really.
I think that's where a lot of people are. It's like
and
they just want to see the Tom Baker stuff
and Sylvester McCoy because I really freaking like Ace. She's like one of my favorite companions.
Well, 500 episodes from the show's classic period will be streamed. 8 hours of Who per day, starting at 11 a.m. Pacific is when the block starts, and then that's going to be 3 times that it's going to be repeated. Also, prizes will be given out. If you watch 10 minutes of Doctor Who in a day, you are entered into a drawing to win a Doctor Who fan pack that includes a TARDIS money box, a themed Monopoly set, and a Doctor Who doormat, so you can walk all over your favorite Doctor. There's a grand prize as well, which is a trip to London Comic Con. So that's pretty cool. You know, I'm not like super into Doctor Who, but I certainly don't dislike it. Like I watched some of the Eccleston ones because that's where I decided to start and it was good. I just, you know, me and watching TV, I don't always get to binge everything. And then I'll like start binging something and then suddenly somebody's like, you have to watch 13 Reasons Why or you
no,
have to
you
watch
do
Stranger
not
Things.
Have to watch 13 Reasons Why.
Do you know how many people are telling me I need to watch that show? I haven't watched it yet.
No,
but like Stranger
please,
Things.
Please don't support that show. It does terrible things and completely misrepresents suicide.
Well, anyway, I have watched Stranger Things. That was the one I did watch. That was really good. And I still need to finish Queer Eye because there's a second season coming out.
Some of those guys were at DragCon.
Oh, really?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, God.
But, yeah.
Every time I hit a trouble spot in my life, I just think, WWJVND, what would Jonathan Van Ness do?
I just think, what would Carson Kressley wear?
He would probably call something gorgeous. It's gorgeous. This is gorgeous. Anyway. over in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Nifty Swirl wants to know, is the fanny pack bigger on the inside? Yes, I hope so.
That's so funny because you know what fanny is everywhere else in the world. It means vagina.
Vagina, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, well, fanny is your bottom, is your booty. At least if you are international, you did not know that that's what we take fanny to mean. But it's just like pants. I'll be, you know, I put on pants in the morning, but that I'm thinking like jeans.
Trousers.
Or slacks, right? That's pants to
us. Pants everywhere else is your unders.
Yeah, your under thingies. So yeah. Kind of. Interesting.
Not the thingies that go in your under thingies, but the thingies that go over your under thingies.
Which is ironically, I like, you know how like some people really get bothered by like the word moist and like things like that. Okay, you know what? Underpants. I think that is like the dumbest word. You sound like you're like 3 years old.
That's why I just call them pants.
I don't like.
It's also funny because then you can say when you know when we give someone a wedgie, you can say you pantsed someone.
But that's just you pull down your pants. You pull down their pants.
Anyway. Oh, whatever.
Oh, forget it. All right, look, we're going to move on. I wanted to ask you guys, though, about the Doctor Who stuff and this Twitch thing. Well, A, what do you think about this kind of direction for Twitch where we're seeing more and more non-gaming content on Twitch? Is this the future of television?
I don't hate it.
You don't hate
it? I'm not mad at it.
Either.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's good, and the thing that I like is that it'll give people easy access to seeing the classic Who, to see, you know your roots, know your doctors. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yeah, Tom Baker made a cameo in one of the specials, you know, but still, you know, it's better to watch him as the doctor.
Right.
And yeah.
And that fantastic scarf and outfit.
You know, the BBC released that scarf pattern.
Oh, good.
To knit it.
Good.
But yeah, he had the hat.
Yeah,
and I mean, of course,
it was an ensemble. It was an ordeal.
And him and Lala Ward, which he actually married her after, and then they got divorced. But it's just funny, you know, watching them together, and then it's just really. Just go back and watch the Seventh Doctor, though. Oh my God, that is cranky Doctor, and he is the best.
Let me get to this chat comment, and then I'll ask Loki your thoughts.
Okay.
From Bobby in chat, Bobby Blackwolf, our pal who's on before us here at Vogue, is saying, I think it's interesting that Twitch is reintroducing live TV viewing again, something we stopped doing with Netflix, Hulu, and so forth. That's a very good point, is that the whole like community coming together and like chatting about it is kind of like Twitch has kind of done that where other people kind of started to do that. And then like the brakes got hit on it. Like, and I'm thinking of like, remember when Netflix had the party mode on 360 and then that got the plug pulled on it. But that was like a really fun thing to do with friends, is to watch stuff together and comment. Or TVII. Remember the Wii U's little thing that they had where you could actually do the chat alongs and stuff with football games and American Idol? Yeah, you probably don't remember it because Nintendo was horrible at promoting it.
I can imagine that shit with Drag Race, though.
Oh my God, right? So that's what we needed. We need a Twitch Drag Race feed or something. Anyway,
right?
Loki, what are your thoughts on Doctor Who coming to Twitch and like what that could mean for the future of like television?
It's cool. I never watched Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'll check it out. I'll watch it a little bit. Even though I don't know a lot about the classic ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's neat that they're experimenting with that kind of stuff.
I think we are looking in a little bit of a way at the future of television, because there's more and more stuff that people can home grow in this day and age. So I can talk about this now. The project that I was doing for the past couple weeks that kind of kept me away from a lot of things is that I was playing one of my like online games that's like the Survivor-esque type of game, but I had to keep it a secret because that was part of the whole twist, was that I'm not going to get too into the details because I kind of want to do an episode of this show about it at some point with some of the people that live here locally that play them. But I got voted out really early. Unfortunately, the game's supposed to run through like June. I was like the seventh person voted out, so I didn't even make the jury thing, but whatever. That's just because they're haters. But the reason why I bring that whole project up is because I think it's fascinating, because like when events are happening in the game, like challenges and tribal councils, they're streaming them on Google Hangouts and people are watching them. Like, it's like they have this group. There's like something like 700, 800 people in this Facebook group. And there's, you know, a good chunk of people that are like actually watching this shit unfold live. And the reason why I bring that up is because like a lot more of like the television and the programming stuff is homegrown, right? So people aren't necessarily waiting for a new episode of Survivor to come on this week. They're making their own fucking Survivor. Or, you know, like people aren't waiting for there to be a new gaming channel for a G4 replacement to show up. One's never coming because Twitch, everybody has like their own thing. So I think you're seeing more and more like what the future of television is going to look like, because basic cable is on notice, in my opinion. There, the room for basic cable is that window is dwindling, because I think more and more people are kind of making their own shit. I don't think local television is ever particularly going away, because local TV is still going to keep us informed, especially when like bad shit is happening in town and people need to see like, where is the hurricane? Where is the flood? Where is the volcano erupting? Like those types of things you still need like your local news for. It's similar in a way, in my opinion, to what podcasts have done to traditional radio. Like podcasts have really kind of fucked up traditional radio in many ways. You know, it really kind of put a dent in satellite radio. They're all under one company now, right? Because people can kind of choose to listen to their own stuff. So it's very interesting to me how more and more media is getting more underground. Of course, this could open up a whole nother can of worms about, well, when you have amateur media, there's no sense of responsibility, which is how we get into spreading news stories that aren't necessarily real, right? Alternative facts, if you will.
Yeah, but the major news networks do that too. So, I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, but anyway, I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole.
To be fair, their effect on, you know, the populace, since they have a larger viewership, is probably greater than a podcast.
Right. Well, but I mean, maybe because a lot of their viewership is a lot of older folks who don't use, not only, but you know, there's a lot of older folks that don't use technology. Like Loki, by the time we are the older generation, the ones that are over the age of 65, which is only about 25 years away, you know, that using things like Twitch, using the internet to get things, that's going to be commonplace. That's not going to be like a niche thing or something that only tech savvy people know how to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Anyway, looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Nifty Swirl says, "Ah, bummer, you got pork chopped." No, I wasn't the first one gone. I was more like Mayhem Miller. I should have went a lot further, and I was like a fan favorite cut too soon. I would prefer to be compared to Mayhem Miller, although I do love
Mayhem,
me some pork chop.
Though.
Yeah.
Is perfect. It's the perfect analogy. And Mayhem also was complete perfection in person.
Yes.
And
which,
I got
which I am too.
I got to look at the feather dress in person.
Oh, I love it.
That shit was hot.
I love it. Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, "The problem with Google Hangout, however, if there is any copyrighted music playing in the background, it's going to nag you about it, since Google Hangout is archiving the stream to YouTube." Well, that would just depend on the type of programming you're doing. Like all the game stuff I was just referencing, like you don't really play music during that. So there's no need to, you know, watch that. So, or no need to worry about copyright with that. But I mean, that's also a problem on Twitch. Like, if you're going to sit there and play something like Heroes of the Storm all night long, excuse me, and you get sick of the game audio, or things like Warcraft, that's another big one, World of Warcraft. Like, you know, the music in World of Warcraft is great the first 500 times you hear it, and then it's like, okay, maybe I'm going to mute the soundtrack of World of Warcraft and play my own music. So, I mean, you can do that, and I guess they use a DJ license or something so that the live feeds are unaffected, but your broadcast will get muted if you have copyrighted music in it, which I'm sure you all know is a big thing over on Twitch TV. So anyway, I guess I kind of went off track there on the Twitch and Doctor Who thing, but I really do think it kind of all comes together about kind of like the future of like where the concept of a TV network is growing. And, you know, we're starting to grow more and more of our own stuff. So I'll leave you with that. Anyway, let's move on and talk about our video game weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, you got a little bit to catch up on, but any games you want to talk about that you've been playing this week?
Kirby, Zelda Breath of the Wild, and then I went to the Golden State Pinball Expo and played a shit ton of pinball, and I'm going to go in order of what I played. Played Baby Pac-Man, Mr. and Ms. Pac-Man Pinball. These are all pinball, by the way. Black Rose, which is one of my favorites. dialed in. They had dialed in, so I got to play it at one of the Jersey Jack tables. Also, got to play like this Vertigo pinball thing, but it also had like double screen or like extra long screen video games. So one of them was Mappy, so I played Mappy.
I apologize for this very important interruption, but Darsakra, did you want the decaf one or did you want to choose from the other flavors that I have for coffee? Coffee is a very important subject. I will always interrupt this show to talk about coffee.
I really want actual caffeine, but I'm afraid about ulcers, but fuck it, you live once. Do you have hazelnut?
Peppermint, you want vanilla macadamia, vanilla buttercream, or toasted graham? Oh, I do have hazelnut cream. You want that?
I'd like a hazelnut cream,
all right,
please.
You got it. We now we resume with our gaming weeks.
Okay. I also played Centaur. I played the Goldeneye table. I played Starship Troopers, which is actually a really fun table. I did play Doctor Who Pinball that has one of the best multi-balls to ever exist. I played... the fuck is this one? I think it's The Getaway. I played Middle Earth, which is one of those 70s ones. I played the Gottlieb Ninja Turtles table, which always sucks. I, of course, played Lexi Lightspeed, which... Keep your eyes open for Lexi Lightspeed because it's a modular table. You're supposed to be able to rebuild the table with different rules. And on the playfield, it has like a video screen that interacts with the various targets and everything. So you can get one modular table and then switch out other tables and other programming for it. So it's pretty cool. I also played... which one is this? I don't know which one this is. Oh, this is Lost in Space. It wasn't great. I played Tron... and then I saw a sticker that says, ask not for whom the ball rolls. It rolls for thee. Also played Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters, which is pretty nice. It was just funny. If you look in their headquarters, they have a picture of a pinball table. That's the same pinball table that was in the firehouse in the movie. So it's pretty cool. I played Aerosmith, which I do nothing but play the Sweet Emotion mode on that one anyway.
Which is an appropriate thing to do.
I played one called TX Sector. I played The Hobbit, which is a slow-ass table. I mean, Jersey Jack does some good tables, but this one was slow as fuck to play and not as much fun. I played Beat Time, which is the one based on the Beatles. I did not get to play one of the new ones. What was it? Houdini. Houdini's like one of the newest ones to come out. And then they had the Iron Maiden machines. But I also did play Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a really fun table.
That's like their new one, huh?
One of the newer ones. But okay. Actually, the newest one that came out was Iron Maiden. And it was okay. I didn't play it.
Sorry, I have to deviate real quick because now that you're talking about all this pinball, like one of the big stories that you missed in the couple weeks you were gone was that the pinball arcade, is that the one? There's always like multiple. So they're losing like a ton of those licenses. They're losing, what was it, Midway, Bally, they're losing those. And so you have until the end of June to pick up everything you want. There's not going to be any sales because that's a violation of their license agreement. Like, are you sad to see those go or are you just kind of like whatever?
I hated playing the virtual one, so... wasn't fun for me.
I guess that is kind of a dumb question for you because you and Husb are in the position where you can collect the real things.
Or we know people who have them.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I really don't enjoy playing virtual pinball that much.
Really? Even the big like the main pinball thing that they actually lay down on a vertical TV?
Yeah, because it's really fucking weird to tilt them. It just doesn't. It's just not as much when you don't get the right feedback.
Tilt is always weird.
on a
virtual thing. That's one thing that is like impossible to get right.
And see, for me, it's almost impossible for me to tilt a table. Usually the way that I knock the ball back into play is I just give it a smack on the side.
Yeah, same.
And it's usually enough. But Dan shakes it. I don't shake the whole table. So getting a tilt is really hard for me. I mean, I wouldn't say I've never tilted before, but I have.
I've tilted.
But I'm still playing Ragnarok. I'm still playing Pokemon Go, and that's about it.
All right.
But a lot of fucking pinball. And I took pictures of everything that I took so that I played so I could put it on my thing for today that I played all those pins.
All right. You got it. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby says, I spent that money to buy all the packs. For someone who can't play the real thing, I liked it. I only play real pinball tables once a year. And then the VPC caps I want to get have a tilt button on either side so I won't have to shake my table. Well, I mean, it's hard because, you know, a button, it's just not going to be quite that same feeling as the actual physics of shaking it. But I also get it. Like, you may not want to put that type of stress on your table, but that is kind of part of pinball. I mean, believe it or not, tilting a machine is kind of, without tilting it and getting the error, is kind of part of it.
That's why the tables, the legs are the way that they are. They are firm steel that are meant to be shaken. And the tilt mechanism inside, for anyone who doesn't know, it is a weighted pendulum that is a perfectly balanced pendulum with a charged plate in a circle around it. And so when it hits, it'll give you a warning, but when it's a full knock, it'll give you a full tilt.
Yeah.
So, and that is how it works.
To be fair, these things that we're talking about are like advanced pinball. Like most people that play pinball aren't going to be in the notion. Like I would say beginner pinball is when you're still hitting both flipper buttons at the same time for everything.
Fuck.
Which is fine. I mean, that's fine.
That's like beginner DDR when you go back to the center.
Oh my God, I was thinking the same thing. That's like beginner DDR. The first thing you have to learn about DDR is to, like, don't always have to go back to the center.
The first thing you need to learn from DDR watching my kids is that you have to hit more than just the top arrow, and you have to kind of look at the screen when you're doing it. Because you can't just stand there and just keep tapping the top arrow and expect to beat the level.
Yeah.
But the great thing about pinball for me is that physicality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I just don't get the same feel with the virtual tables. I mean, I liked playing, you know, Revenge of the Gator and all that because that was how that was meant to be played. Or,
that's a good
point. Sonic Spinball.
Pokemon Pinball, my
favorite. But they were designed that way. They were never full-size tables.
Good
they
point.
Had that fantasy element to it and things that wouldn't, like, or Devil's Crush or Alien Crush.
Mm.
Those things wouldn't happen on a legit pinball table. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, if it's a legit pinball and it doesn't, and they make a virtual version of it. Like, it was fine before we could, you know, get these tables or knew people who had them. That was kind of the only way we could.
Right.
But
which
now,
you realize is where most people are at.
But now pinball is really such a growing, you know, it's gaining its popularity again. The love has come back. We've got companies returning. And I even wonder if part of these license failures could possibly be that maybe some of those companies might be thinking of, because, I mean, Midway and Williams have licensed their tables to Stern and to some of the ones rebuilding them. So it could be, I mean, we may even, who knows, maybe we'll see a return of Williams pinball.
Who knows? All right. Anyway, let's move on to Loki and your gaming week.
I played no pinball this week. No,
it's all good. It's all good.
And so I did play, though, some new stuff. So I did try, because I was looking for more games for the Switch, so I ended up downloading a few, and one of those being Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, which is a kind of retro, like, it's very much like Castlevania 3. And it's, I mean, it's a good game. It's very much, it looked like it could be an NES game, and I've enjoyed quite a bit of it. So definitely check it out, because you can switch between players. Well, it's sort of like, I guess, Castlevania 3, because I think Castlevania 3 you couldn't switch in real time. But this, you can. You can actually switch between your characters in real time, which is kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, like, all the enemies in the game, like, dude, this is, like, totally Castlevania. Like, this is just such a ripoff of Castlevania. Granted, yeah, I know it's the same people, but it's like, dude, it's like reskinning Castlevania and calling it something else.
To be fair, that's kind of what a lot of people want, though. You know, like,
yeah, I'm not complaining. It's a great game. Okay. I mean, it was, it's a great game. So not complaining, but I'm just like going, man, that enemy's just like this one and the other game. And it's like, it's exactly the same. There's food in the walls and stuff. And so, yeah, whatever. It's all good.
You know, if Konami ain't going to do it, you know what?
Yeah, so definitely check that
People
out.
People have been asking, when do we get an old-school Castlevania game again? Here you go.
Here you go. Yeah, it's great.
I think we backed
$10. $10. Can't beat it.
Yeah, you should get, if you put 28 or more down, you should get a code for this retro one. But the problem is, the codes are, like, delayed. So, like, I'm waiting on my Switch code. But, like, I know people that still just went and bought it anyway. But I'm like, no, I'm going to wait on my Switch code. But I think they gave backers, like, a temporary Steam code so that you could check it out no matter where you're, like, copy is supposed to be. Anyway,
so. Yeah, but it's good, so definitely check it out. And then my My son had their friends over, so they wanted to do PlayStation VR. So I got more PlayStation VR stuff, but none of them played any of the new games because they wanted to play the same old shit that they keep playing. So we played a little bit of...
what do you let your children play? Until Dawn, Rush or Blood?
I wanted to let them do that, but they don't know. No, the one I wanted to let them play is Surgeon Simulator, but that would unfortunately be a little inappropriate. But they would love it. They would eat that shit. But no, the most violent game they played was Super Hot VR, and they liked.
Oh, okay.
They liked because like that game, there's no way to like I can't figure out how to restart the progress, so they had to play like where I left off in the game. And so the one I left off on, you start off I think in like a helicopter maybe or something. I don't know. It's like some elevated area, and you have to punch a guy, and so they kept cock punching the dude over and over and shooting things. But yeah, they had fun with that. And then I picked up Fruit Ninja VR, which that's a pretty easy one for him to play. And then what else? And then we did Job Simulator, you know, the old standby. But like I had like a bunch of stuff and stuff that I like almost accidentally started for them, like Accounting Plus. No, that's not a kid's game right there. But yeah, my wife's like, well, you know, can I try that? You know, joking. I'm like, yeah, you can play Until Dawn, Rush of Blood. And she didn't want to do that.
Is that it?
And I also have Skyrim VR, which I haven't got a chance to play yet, but
you should.
I have it because I got it half off when they were doing that sale last week at GameStop. So aside from that, just basically Super Mario Odyssey and then Pokemon Go because, you know, they've had the whole, kind of cycling stuff out. So I've been just evolving stuff. That's it.
All right. My gaming week. So my project came to an end when a bunch of people half my age voted me off the island. So that's that. But it opened up my free time to play more video games again. So I was able to, you guys don't even know like how much time you spend. It's like nonstop Skype calls. Like, are they going to turn on you? Are they going to turn on you? Are you going to stick with me? Are you going to do this? It's like nonstop, but it's actually a lot of fun. It really, like, it sounds ridiculous, but like the psychology games, like if you like shit, like Mafia and Werewolf and stuff at conventions, like it's basically that, like just on a much bigger scale. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that until I'm able to get some of the players here all in the building, kind of like we did the Ingress episode, and we'll do an ORG episode. Not to be confused with ORG. That's much different than an ORG episode. Anyhow, so video games, I picked back up Final Fantasy XIV. I'd kind of slowed down on that the past couple months because I sort of wore out that last patch. But they came out with patch 4.3 in this past week, so it's kind of reinvigorated me to go back in there. And, I got a new dungeon to unlock and check out, and I really like the way they did the new dungeons, and they referenced Geomancers from back in like Final Fantasy Tactics. Are like, even though they're not a playable class, like the enemies are Geomancers, and they ring the bells, and it like makes the area that you're in completely change. So it's really cool. I like that. And then unlocking some of the other features, like you get to rebuild Doma Castle. It's one of those weird things where like Doma Castle exists in Final Fantasy XIV, but it's not necessarily the same Doma from Final Fantasy VI. It's just like, what if this concept existed in a different time and place? Like kind of like how Final Fantasy games do with like Cid and Chocobos, right? So they took Doma Castle and kind of put it there. And so that's a big part, is you get to rebuild Doma. So I had to do a lot of questing for that. So that was some of my time in Final Fantasy XIV. And then I also played some Nintendo Switch. I checked out a game kind of randomly. I noticed it was the number one selling game in the store, and it was an indie game. It was beating a bunch of other stuff. And I'd heard some friends talking about it on Twitter, so I was like, what the hell? I'm going to pick this up. So it's called Wizard of Legend.
Yeah, I saw that. I almost bought it, but I haven't.
It's not bad. Like, it doesn't handhold you a lot. Like, you really have to kind of learn some things the hard way. It is a roguelike. Okay, at its core. But even if you're like one of those people who's like, ugh, I hate roguelikes, like, you know, check out some videos, see what you think about this one, because, you know, a lot of it is about kind of like how you build your book of moves before you go out into the world, and you can collect these different arcana, basically. So like maybe you do like an earth punch or a fire punch, and like, or these different moves, like the beams can be fire or lightning. But then, I mean, it's much more intricate than that. It's not just like, oh, it's the same beam but a different element. No, like the ice one will like go out and freeze a monster, then come back. The fire one kind of does a funky pattern. You know, the thunder one will like suspend bullets in midair. You know, like they all have their own little like things that they do. So you kind of like can build that book. But they didn't really explain the whole concept. So I'll help y'all out if you decide to check this out. So the little like chaos emeralds, I think they're called, either that or I'm confusing it with Sonic the Hedgehog. Little chaos emeralds, that's what you use to like buy new spells that are permanent for your book that you can take each time in there. And that's like you want to grab those, persist even amongst death. Gold will lose when you die. And gold is how you temporarily buy stuff in the dungeons. So you might run across shopkeepers in the dungeons that are like, do you want to buy this spell? Or do you want to buy this enhancement for your spell? You can spend gold on that, but it will only last during the dungeon. So it's kind of interesting. It feels a little bit like in some ways Diablo-y to me, because all the dungeons are like randomly generated. And so they're never going to be the same. And, you know, kind of like the way you fight and stuff looks a little Diablo-y. So I'm into it. I like it. You know, especially for like a $15, $20 indie title?
Like 15.
Yeah, it's you know, it's cool. And apparently it has local co-op, which is cool, but I haven't really been able to test that yet. So there's that. I also picked up Mega Man Collection 1 and 2. I just haven't played it yet, so not a lot else to say on that. But I did pick up and I did play a little bit of Hyrule Warriors last night, because I didn't bother playing it when it was on Wii U. I didn't bother playing it when it was on 3DS. So finally I was like, all right, this is probably going to be the last time they do it, and this will be the everything edition. So I'm going to buy it this time. So I did, and I'm liking it quite a bit. Like, I've only played the first two regular levels, and then I went into the adventure mode, which is the one that looks like the 8-bit Zelda a little bit, and I did a little bit of that because I want to explore it. I'll play some more after the show tonight on my Twitch channel. I think last I checked my vote on my Twitter, that was the one that was leading by about 20%. So I think I'm going to be doing Hyrule Warriors after the show tonight. So I'll show you a little more of that game over on my Twitch channel. It's twitch.tv/RobRoberts. All one word. But I love the feeling of just hacking through thousands of enemies at once. And I think it's really cool how you can play as Link, but in the first stage you get to be Zelda a little bit, or you can be Impa, or I just got a stage with Sheik in it. So it's cool that you can play all these different characters. And then I like that it's not just like run to the other side of the battlefield and hack as many things as you can. Like, you have to kind of manage everything that's going on in the battlefield. And part of how you manage it is you can flip between your characters really quick. So it's like, you might get an alert like, you have this base under attack in the top left. Okay, well, Impa's up there in the top left, so I'm going to flip over to Impa, and then I'll have her take the base back and get rid of it. Okay, now I'll go back to Link, who is kind of going through the main objectives. So I kind of like how you have to juggle that a little bit and manage that. It's pretty cool. And that's only in the first couple levels. Like, I only can imagine how much harder this gets. But I have played a little bit of Dynasty Warriors, and it is fucking Dynasty Warriors with a Zelda skin, but that's okay. Like, there's probably a lot of people who haven't played Dynasty Warriors, but probably will, because it's Link and Zelda now, and it's cool. I enjoy it. So yeah, Hyrule Warriors. I'm liking it so far. Let's check in again after another week and see if I've actually continued with it and played more. But based on the fact that this is the definitive edition, it sure seems like there is an awful lot to do. Like, those two modes I named are only, like, two of, like, five or six modes that are in it. I mean, there's just crazy amounts of stuff to unlock and things like that. So, going to our chat at live.vognetwork.com, VidPower says, those blank Warriors games, because I guess Fire Emblem has one, too, are great stress relievers. Yes. Like I said, it's very satisfying to just chop through, like, 2,000 monsters, and you just feel like such a badass. So, yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Hyrule Warriors so far. I'm almost a little sad I slept on it before, but then again, at the same time, I'm kind of glad that, like, this edition that I bought is, like, this is all you need. It's the definitive edition. That is until, you know, it goes the way of, like, Super Street Fighter 2, and then we get, like, it's Hyrule Warriors Turbo Championship Super Mega Definitive Collection. So we'll see. Hopefully not. All right, that's it for my game of week. Let's talk about some announcements, of which I don't have an awful lot, but I will mention that we will not be here the very last week in June. We will not be here June 24th, but we will be here June 17th for our 16th birthday. So who's going to be buying us a car? It's OLR's My Sweet 16 coming to you on June 17th.
We need to watch the Sweet 17th birthday com extravaganza by Strung Bad.
I just hope there's a cake. That's all a person should get for the
birthday. Should I get us a bundt cake?
What
I called it when I was a kid, a butt cake.
A butt cake. You know what? Any cake. Bakers can't be choosers. So when a cake is made for me, all I ask is that
I get cupcakes.
It's not a cake with like mayonnaise as frosting.
I get ice cream cake.
Ice cream cake.
I can't eat ice cream.
Oh my god. Shane was just telling me, because Shane just had a birthday, and he was telling me about a cake he got that had like banana ice cream in it, and it was like graham cracker crust.
Oh yeah, something for Shane.
Oh, it sounded so good. Anyway,
because Christy gave him banana pocky, and it's at my house.
Oh, nice. So, all right. Anyway, let's get into some other video game news. We it hasn't been a huge gaming news week, but there's a few things to talk about, right, Loki?
Yeah, the Vita might be coming back. No, that's not the case. No, apparently there's a new chief of Sony Interactive Entertainment, John Cadera, who's been kind of speaking his mind about the PlayStation brand and talking about the possibility of a portable system making a return, and basically saying, you know, hey, Sony portable gaming could come back, you know, if they remember that the console actually exists. Basically put it, in my opinion, rather than separating portable gaming from consoles, it's necessary to continue thinking of portable gaming as one method to deliver more gaming experiences, exploring what our customers want from portable. We want to think about many options. Sounds like they just want to copy the Switch based on that comment, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. It would be neat to see something like the Switch that's more powerful.
Do you think Sony's going to just straight up copy the Switch? I mean, we kind of got into this a little bit last week when we talked about, you know, the Vita dying, basically, officially. The fact that Sony kind of, like, almost had it. Like, with the Vita TV and the fact that, you know, you could pick something up and then play it on your TV. Like, they kind of were really close.
I don't think that the next system's going to be something like that, because they're talking that right now the leaked, or I don't know if it's leaked, but, like, the specs or the thought was that it's going to be something that's based off the AMD Ryzen chip. So I don't think that would necessarily lend itself to a portable console, because I mean, they're pretty low powered, but it's, I don't think you can get it quite low enough to have good battery life.
Well, some folks would really be down for that. She-Hulk in our chat at live.vognetwork.com says, PlayStation and Xbox need to be able to take the console on the road like the Switch. It is a no-brainer. So, I mean,
but look at what Nintendo had to sacrifice in order to get the form factor and everything. You had to sacrifice some power to be able to get it that small and that portable.
Fair enough. But, you know, in a few more years, technology will have caught up quite a bit. You know, that Switch console's just as powerful as a PlayStation 3, or, you know, it's last gen. It's actually a little more powerful than that, right? So, you know, those guys can still pack a punch for being a little portable, you know, essentially a portable system. So,
yeah.
And, you know, and how much, I mean, are we looking at with PlayStation 5 that every single game is going to be fully 4K? I mean, you think games are expensive to develop now? Like, there's got to be a point where we kind of, like, I almost feel like in some ways the PlayStation 4 was not the hugest step up from the PlayStation 3. Like, we were used to seeing, like, the 1 to the 2 and the 2 to the 3 were, like, big steps up. But the 3 to the 4 step was not as big. I mean, don't get me wrong. Duh, of course you can tell the difference between PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 3. But, I mean, you know, I think that technology of what you can do on a screen, we're almost starting to plateau a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we've said this since the days of the Atari 2600. Remember when the NES first came out when we were kids and it was like playing something like Super Mario Brothers 2? It was like, oh my God, it's like an actual cartoon on my television. This is like a real cartoon. You know, and it's like,
no, I don't think I ever said that.
I did. I remember I was like, how much better can graphics get? It's a fucking cartoon that's on. I didn't say fucking when I was a kid. Well, maybe I did. But it's like, it's a cartoon on my television. Like, how much better can we get than that? And then, you know, here we are now at PlayStation 4. But it's like, you know, okay, we can go to full on 4K 60 frame a second games. But you know how expensive those are going to be to make?
Well, that's why I don't think necessarily it's going to be that it's going to, I mean, graphics will be one thing, but I think it's going to be more of how we interact with games, you know, pushing more of the augmented reality, the more haptics and that kind of stuff. Because that, you know, you look at like a PlayStation VR, the graphics aren't that much better than, you know, most things. I mean, the displays aren't as good as like a, you know, a TV or something, but it's that immersion that you feel from it. You can't replicate that outside of VR. So I think once that becomes more mainstream, that's going to be the way things are going to go.
Looking at chat at live.vognetwork.com, Bobby Blackwolf says, I was the same way on the jump from PS3 to PS4 until I got a PS Pro on 4K. PS3 and PS4 were both 1080p gaming, so that's why the jump didn't look as good. We didn't jump any resolution. Well, maybe not in my own house, but I've seen PlayStation 4 on 4K. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, it looks fucking great, but, you know, again, like, the PS3 was, like, already pretty fucking good, you know, and I don't expect that making every single game 4K is going to be, I mean, that just sounds like it's expensive unless, I don't know, maybe there's going to be ways to automate that more and maybe make it easier on the artists who do it, but it just seems like you think you wait a long time for games now, wait until they all have to be 4K and 120 frames a second. Like, it's just, it's going to be crazy. So, I don't know. That's just my thought. VidPower in chat says, I think the biggest graphical jump was from N64 to GameCube. Well, yeah, but that was also Nintendo's big jump from the cartridge format to the disc format.
Well, yes. When you wipe the Vaseline off the screen, you know, then, yeah, anything looks great.
Dungeon Buster says, I think it comes down mostly to the games. I can't imagine Horizon Zero Dawn on the PS3 looking as it does, or God of War. I don't have a PS4 Pro, but both games look amazing to me regardless. Just to be clear, because I want to make sure I'm not coming off the wrong way, I'm not saying that the PS4 isn't noticeably better than the PlayStation 3. Of course it is. I'm just saying that step, it doesn't feel like as huge of a step
it's
as
like going
it did
from like
one
maybe
to two
DVD
two
to Blu-ray. It wasn't so, you know, noticeable.
Well, it's noticeable, but it's not as noticeable as it was when we went from VHS to DVD.
Right.
That's for sure. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So anyway, those are just my thoughts on that. So do you think Sony is going to do something with the portable stuff, or they done?
I don't think it anytime soon.
All right. Well, last week on the show, we talked about how Steam was planning to bring a mobile Steam Link, basically, to cell phones. We talked a little bit about this last week, how they were planning this for Android and iOS. Well, a little monkey wrench got thrown in the plans this week because Apple blocked Steam's plan to extend the video games to iPhones. Apple blocked Steam from being onto the stores. Incredibly sure the why behind it, because I think they got kind of a generic sort of email that was like, you know, it doesn't gel with Apple policies, basically. So people are kind of left to think, is it because the marketplace, like, Apple wasn't okay with that? But apparently Steam disabled the marketplace for that. Like, they saw that one coming and they disabled it. So apparently that's not the problem. But maybe
when you're offering a platform that's going to compete with something that's a service that's already offered.
So basically Apple TV.
Not Apple TV including, there's also the App Store.
Well, but remember, they disabled purchasing in the Steam thing. So it wasn't going to be...
Right, but it was still going to be a competitor.
Yeah.
So...
That's fine. Just disable Mac support then out of Steam.
Oh, you think Valve should just go to war?
No.
Yeah, hey, you want gaming on your
That's
your...
not going to happen because they actually have a very large number of user base that's on Mac.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't hurt the users that already bought the games and stuff.
That would be shooting their profits.
I'm all for Petty Crocker, don't get me wrong, but that may not be the best move to do there. But, you know, but if they are planning on doing like a Portal 3 or something... if Valve wanted to be petty, they could be like, the Mac version will be out 6 weeks later. Oh, but maybe we could push it to get it out earlier if Apple could do this one little thing for us. But here's the thing.
Yeah, and they don't negotiate with terrorists, sorry.
Here's the thing. I kind of don't think the whole phone thing was that big of a deal anyway. Like, I know we were talking about it on the show last week. Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat, but, like, would I really use it?
Like,
how? No.
I would like to know the actual, like, numbers percentage-wise of Steam users that actually use a Steam Link, either the phone or... Because I have one, I'm like... And the problem is, like, I've never wanted to just set it up to play on the TV and...
Well, Android is going to have this app, so I think
already, yeah. I have it on my phone, and I have it on my my Android TV, so... But yet I've never used either one. I thought about it. I'm like, oh, that'd be kind of cool.
I used my Steam Link for like a month sparingly, and then that's it. Like, I haven't really used it since. So, but like I said on the show last week, like, I'm not going to play Civilization VI on my phone. That's redonkulous. Like, that's not going to be fun. It's not gonna, like, playing that from the bed on my no-button device phone. Like, that's not going to be fun. Switch, that's fun. I can still play that in bed, and it feels just like playing it on TV. But maybe watching movies out of the Steam Marketplace or something, but how many of those do I really own? Like two?
Don't think about your phone necessarily. Think about, like, if you have a tablet, it's better because you can use that as a screen, prop that
up.
Well,
Alan has an Android tablet, so he can use it.
And then you just whip out a Bluetooth controller, and you can just play on it like a screen.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point if you have a computer that you can sit down in a comfy chair and just do the same shit, but whatever. It's flexibility, and we didn't have to pay for it.
Bonds 006 in chat talking about the whole petty stuff, our little fanfic there. Bonds 006 says, when mommy and daddy fight, the kids suffer. That's true. We don't want people to suffer because they get in a fight. Let's see. Brad from Pod Culture talking about the Steam Link says, mine is collecting dust. Hate that damn controller. You can use, like, any Bluetooth controller with those things now,
or
right?
Even, like, an Xbox Wire controller and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just haven't bothered to set it up yet. Or maybe I did, and I just forgot about it. I know I have it somewhere. It may be hooked up, and I just completely forgot about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, this isn't surprising to hear. Maybe they'll work something out. I don't know. But at the same time, was I really going to use this anyway? To be honest, probably not. Like, now, if I could use cellular data to, like, stream my Steam stuff over cell to my phone. But how garbage
is
that?
Yeah, I was like, that would be terrible.
Before y'all jump in there and chat going, that would look like shit, Rob. It's like, that's kind of the joke. Like, I know it's not going to look that great. But, hey, you know what? I remember a time when this show started that we were on dial-up friendly radio. And look how far internet speeds have come in just that time. So you know what? There's going to come a time when cellular speeds are
almost stable.
I know, right?
Hey, you remember the Vita? Remember how the Vita had a 3G version?
Yeah.
Remember how
I
you
have a 3G with, Vita.
And remember then they coined the phrase asynchronous multiplayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one Vita game that let me play over the 3G connection. Coming up short. It just didn't work so well. Anyway. There you go. Well, anyway, if you have an Android device, you could check out the Steam app if you think it's something you'd benefit from. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not going to be sitting there playing Portal 2 on my tablet.
Pretty much any multiplayer game that you play over 3G is going to be asynchronous multiplayer.
If I played more of those visual novel games like Dream Daddy, I could play from the comfort of my bed. Or I guess if I'm going to be playing in my bed, I'd have to be playing something a little more like coming out on top or something a little more like top shelf, if you know what I'm saying. All right.
It clearly it's gonna have to be genital jousting.
I was gonna say, what about the bottom shelf?
Maybe that's what Apple's issue was with some of those adult games.
No, because Apple is just being petty because they want a piece of that money.
It could be. I don't know.
A company has a right to stop anything that's gonna be any type of competition with services that they already offer. It's not Microsoft has done it before in the past. We've seen other companies do the same things. It's really business as usual.
But they have other
this
streaming
is going
apps.
To give ammunition to the anti-Apple crowd.
And they're all idiots.
I think people are free to make whatever choice they want,
even if it's the wrong one.
I think that's objective, and I think you know better than that. Like that there's more than one opinion. So
anyone who hates anything just on principle alone is an idiot.
Well, but when they ban certain things from things, that's
right. But if someone's going to hate something, they're going to already hate it.
Maybe.
There's no adding fuel to something that already exists. Mm.
All right, let's move on. Let's change topics. I think you actually have the next story, Darsakra.
I do. E-gaming is a thing. It's been esports has been big and bigger and growing. So now the Special Olympics USA is going to host a video game tournament. Esports will definitely be a thing in the 2018 Special Olympics starting on July 2nd. They're partnering with the Xbox division for the tournament. And so there will be teams that are competing in rounds of Forza Motorsport 7. There will be The competitors have already been chosen. There were 8 qualifier events that took place at different Microsoft stores. Speaking of biting onto things that other companies have done. Having 8 different teams that will consist of 1 athlete with and 1 without an intellectual disability. So they'll be in teams. And basically, they're like, you know, since so many of their special athletes are avid gamers, this gives them the ability to have another form to compete in. So
this website with the story has an autoplay videos. No, I can't read the story while you're talking about it. Sorry about that.
Well, I think it's cool.
Yeah. So. No, it's really cool to see. You know, we've kind of wondered more and more when the Olympics were going to acknowledge, you know, video gaming as, you know, something that is a part of it. And the Special Olympics are the Olympics, you know, so.
Yeah.
Actually, no, they are. Paralympics is the Olympics.
Right.
Special Olympics is a separate organization.
But even so,
still
the fact that they recognize this as yet another forum, you know, and I think that it's great that the teams are going to be, you know, one with an intellectual disability versus one with, you know, with a team of people with both mm-hmm. levels of disability. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be pretty amazing. I'm glad that they're doing it, and hopefully they'll catch on more and more. They'll maybe have more. Like, maybe just a special, you know, X Games or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, not X Games, but you know what I mean.
Sure. Yeah. You know, and it's we've had a lot of great stories in the past couple of weeks about, you know, more and more accessibility for gamers. Just last week, we had the story about the Xbox controller that is designed with the, you know, different abled people in mind. So I think that's really cool. So, all right, let's move on. Loki.
All right. And so we talked a little bit last week how Valve was kind of coming down on some of these visual novel developers, saying that their games are too risque or whatever. And then they kind of walked it back a little bit. Well, you know, just to be on the safe side, Good Old Games is actually finding a lot of these publishers coming over their way. So, you know, with that being that, you know, Good Old Games isn't necessarily cracking down on the content like that Steam is. They basically put it, you know, this opportunity couldn't have come at a better time. We've been speaking with GOG prior to the recent events about adding visual novels as a genre to their retail platform. And with Valve now threatening the livelihoods of visual novel developers everywhere, it's a huge relief to see GOG opening their doors to these games.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogueNetwork.com, use the passphrase Dungeon.
So that's pretty awesome. And then Steam has now proven that it's growing unreliable, for small and independent developers. So we are very grateful to have the next biggest retailer in the PC market welcoming visual novels with open arms and an eye for quality.
Okay, but you know there's that like petty part of me that's like, oh, so this is about how Good Old Games is willing to take the gaming garbage that Steam doesn't want to have.
But I wouldn't necessarily call it garbage, though. Like, these games, it's not necessarily that it's
garbage is a harsh word. I'm sorry
because,
if anyone's offended
by
that.
Let's be honest. Like, Steam does have a lot of actual, like, it would be considered, like,
correct.
Shovelware bullshit.
Correct.
Like,
and
just,
that's where I was going to tie it together. But yes, okay.
So, like, I have a problem with Steam saying, oh, yeah, we want to curate this, but not this other, like, this huge, like, pile of bullshit behind us. We're going to focus on this piece of it, but, like, all these other games that don't even function properly, fuck that, you know? That's my problem. It's like, you're either going to, you know, you're either going to curate all of this or you're not.
Are these visual novels with titties? Like, is that, because this plays into something that came up with Steam last week. About how they're cracking down on anime titties.
Some of them, no, not necessarily. And to be honest, like a lot of the ones that are released on Steam are censored, but you can, you know, get an uncensored patch like through the developer's website and play it like however you want it. But I think that they're well aware if that was the issue that they'd be able to censor this stuff, you know, for that marketplace. But I don't think that's the issue here. It's they're just like, oh, well, all visual novels are the blame. You know, we're just going to blame all of them instead of actually
going
through.
Well, visual novels are to blame for most of gaming's problems. Just, I'm kidding.
So, I don't know. I mean, whatever. You know what? Who cares? Like, I don't see the problem with it. If that's something that you want to purchase, cool. But yeah. As long as it functions as a game... then that's fine. But, like, these things that literally, like, they don't have the executable for the game in the download, you know, come on, maybe you should like pay attention to that shit and fix that part, because that's what's making discoverability so hard, is all this crap that's on there. Not, oh, hey, there's tons of visual novels, but to be fair, there are a lot of visual novels that appear in the front page as well.
You know, and people do tend to kind of stay within one ecosystem. I mean, I'm sure there's some that own a few games on Steam, a few games on GOG, a few games on HIO, you know, and the different stuff that's out there. But I think there's probably a lot of people that kind of tend to stay within one ecosystem. So if GOG sees this opportunity to lure a fandom with visual novels, then, you know, if they kind of get in the GOG universe, which GOG is a fine platform, you know, it has a lot of the same things that, you know, Steam offers and some different stuff too, especially when it comes to the classic games. But, you know, they can kind of get people in their ecosystem, and then maybe the games that they want to buy that aren't just visual novels, they're going to stick with GOG, and it kind of gets more people there to compete with Steam maybe a little more.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Anyway, all right, well, let's move on and talk about programming your own game. Maybe you want to write your own visual novel game. Well, you soon can do that on the Nintendo Switch thanks to an app called Puchikon Smile Basic. This is a coding app. It was actually on the Nintendo 3DS and the Wii U, although I must confess I'd never heard of it. But Smile Basic was also known as Petite Computer, I think was another name for this
That
software.
I think was on the 3DS, maybe?
It was. It was on the 3DS and the Wii U. It allows you to make games by coding in BASIC. So, you know, your whole Commodore 64 programming knowledge, your Apple IIe programming and all that can come back. So here, I'm going to write a sample program in BASIC. Here we go. Ready? 10, print, quote, OLR rules, end quote. Enter. 20, go to 10, run. There you go. I wrote a BASIC program live on air. And that's the type of thing you could
They have Smile BASIC for the 3DS available now for $10.
Yeah, so this is something that's going to be coming to the Switch. So it's not just you know, stuff you can do portable, but you can also have things that you can do on the TV. No word yet if you are able to transfer the save files, because I would think, like, well, what if I write like a really awesome program? Like, I'm going to have to – what if I want to send that to a friend? Or is it going to have to be like the old school days where you're going to have to type it out of the back of a magazine? Because maybe that's going to be your only option for a Petite Computer. Who knows? So, all right. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that. I think that's really cool. I had no idea that was a thing on 3DS and Wii U, but I know a lot of us missed some Wii U stuff. So it's all getting a second chance over on the Switch. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us before we get to the classic game and a few stories?
I have a thingy.
Not that
kind of thingy.
Do you? All right. It's a personal thing.
Basically, there is a company that's receiving some backlash. And honestly, I kind of think that it's well-deserved backlash, because they are doing a game called Active Shooter that takes place during a school shooting. You play as either the SWAT team or as an active shooter in a school setting, with potential to play as a civilian as well.
You know, I can see where people right now are like, this is not something I'd like to be playing.
I had more.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
The company putting it out is called Revived Games. And basically, they put a disclaimer on there saying that it is... you know, just a simulation, not to be taken seriously. If you feel that you might hurt people, call 911, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, and it also says it doesn't promote any sort of violence. The thing is that with the game coming out when we have had, what is it, like 19 school shootings to date? And how many just, like, there was that story about the 4-year-old that shot his 2-year-old brother because he thought it was a fucking toy gun, because his idiot asshole parents didn't put their damn gun with the safety on in a fucking gun locker. Sorry, I'm a little pissed off by that.
And you have historically on the show been a little bit of like you've said you want a gun. You've said that here on the show.
I was not at all anti-gun.
Right.
As long as you're fucking responsible with it.
Yes.
But I don't believe anyone needs a fucking assault weapon. I don't think that anyone needs any semi-automatic or fully automatic weapons at all. There's only one purpose for a military gun, and that is to kill a human. You don't need it to go hunting. You will destroy that deer, and the meat will be shitty.
What if I can't aim very well? And you know,
then you don't...
I need quantity over quality.
Then take up a new hobby.
Then you know what the fuck they should do? Is that they should make sure that anyone who buys a gun goes through fucking training. Like when you buy a car. You could run over a shitload of people with a car.
But no, we are required to be licensed drivers who have gone through a year at least of training for it.
If you drive drunk, they take that right away.
Precisely. Yeah. Guns should have the same, you know, thing on it. But
anyway, not to get too far from the story. But
to do a game like this when this is such a big problem right now is highly insensitive. At the best, it's insensitive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's in Steam's PMP not to release any game with the purpose to gain attention by shock value.
Which is kind of what this is. But, you know, the whole, like, my perspective is that video games are art, right? Art is commentary.
This shit isn't art.
On what?
It's a bad-looking game.
Can I let you finish? Can I finish? So my whole thing is I'm not defending the game by any means, but could this be that somebody feels the need to put this out there because we've become so desensitized to what's happening in the culture? Like, you know, all these shootings have happened, you know, ever since Sandy Hook, Vegas, all this stuff. And literally nothing has been done. Yeah. Nothing. Thoughts and prayers ain't shit. Nothing has been done. And, you know, no matter what your stance is on gun laws and all that stuff, my whole thing is that they haven't even tried anything. Nothing has been done. I thought everybody agreed on this whole bump stock thing. Nothing has been done.
Bump stocks are nothing anyway. They're not legal in most states.
Yeah, but nothing has been done. So in a way, like when I first heard about this, I was like, is this maybe like a commentary that like, well, since this is commonplace in our culture anyway, let's just make a game about it. You know, I'm sure it's shock value and all that. It's just, you know, doing it because it can. But, you know, there is a part of me that says maybe art is the wrong word. Maybe there is an expression in here.
But there's nothing on their website talking about it being a political commentary.
Well, then
if they were going to put,
then I gave them too much credit, I guess.
If they were going to release this as some kind of commentary, then they should have made it very clear on their website. This is so that you can see what it's like to be in an active shooter situation when your life is in danger.
This is so you can see what we accept as the norm in our society.
And if they were going to do it, it should only be from the civilian point of view. And it should be something with no control. You can't control totally anything in the game around you.
Some people are going to be so, but I mean, at the same time, again, we have done nothing about it. And like, how are you going to wake people the fuck up to do something about what's going on here?
Wait till it's one of their kids.
It's a congressman was shot at a baseball. Isn't that a thing that happened? There was like a baseball thing.
Yeah.
Like a congressman got shot. Nothing has still been done.
Or the lady, the congresswoman who was under an assassination attempt.
The Arizona lady.
You know, the thing is that, and honestly enough, it really is due to the NRA. The NRA was a tiny little organization in the 70s and started using the Second Amendment and warping the words thereof to grow themselves in popularity and money. And now they're as big as they are, and they have married this idea with guns and patriotism. And so it's why we have to even look at something stupid like this and go, wow, that's insensitive, because we live in a country where people don't do jack shit unless someone's lining their pocket to do jack shit.
Kaijudo in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, nah, the game is trash and the devs are trash. Ragenator says, can we just overthrow the government and just install Dark Sakura and Rob Roberts?
You need to make sure that you say in writing that was a joke.
I didn't hear my name in there.
Yeah. Do put that.
You'll
was a
be
joke.
Secretary of State.
Also, you have to want the job, and no thanks.
No. I don't want to leave this shithole unless I'm like Khaleesi. Because seriously, if I had my way, and again, this is probably never going to happen, and I'm not actively seeking it.
Commentary. This is commentary.
This is commentary. Iceland had a revolution about 2 years ago. They overthrew their own government and rewrote their fucking government. America's too fucking big to do this
peacefully.
They did it peacefully on top
of
that.
That's important to say. Yes.
And in their entire, I think, like last 50 years, there have been one police shooting of anyone. And it was an active gunman situation. Mm-hmm. And the cop was traumatized by it. So I'm saying that America, it really is too big to govern. But nobody wants to do anything differently because as long as they're comfortable and people have their distractions, fucking go read 1984 and read Brave New World. Both of these things were foretold.
Also commentary in of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, tricky subject, I know, but you know, that's, again, I think that's kind of where people, whether it be for shock value, because they're trash, because they think it's art, whatever it is, you know, I think that's where
I'd be the queen and have a parliament.
Yes, I would. Hey, I would be queen.
Liz seems to be doing okay.
Huh?
Liz seems to be doing okay.
All right.
You know, her last corgi died.
Oh, that's tragic.
Well, she was breeding them all from her very first corgi.
Oh.
But she didn't want anyone but her to handle her own corgis, and so she let the last one die out.
Oh. All right. Anyway. We got to move on. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then the classic game of the week. We'll go back to simpler times with the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
All right. So there's a new Switch bundle that's available in Japan. Now, what makes this different is it's cheaper. It's only 26,978 yen, or about $246. But it's missing a few things. So what it's missing is, of course, the dock. It's missing the power supply. And I believe, and then, of course, the Joy-Con grip that you would plug everything together, and apparently an HDMI cable. So it doesn't include any of those. The so what it does come with is the Switch console. You get two Joy-Cons and then the little straps that go with it. So there's no way to charge this thing unless you buy a USB 3 charger. And there's definitely no way to dock it because you're going to need a dock. What I don't get, though, about this whole thing is the standard set actually is only 32,378 yen or $295. So you're really only saving about $50 on it. But the cost to replace all the items that are missing are more than $50. So why the fuck would you do that? It seems like a really terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why they might want to put the options out there and so forth, especially when there's so much more like portable gaming in Japan, you know, because again, the Vita is actually still successful there. Gaming does so well, but yeah, I would hope people might have
like
a
I would
more
think
foresight.
The only way like I could see this is if they did include an AC adapter. And then it could be like, oh, this is like for like your siblings. So you have one dock in the house.
I would say multiple kids in the house that each have their own Switch. Yeah.
And that way, you know, you can do that. But still, it's nice to have the dock anyways to charge the thing. I mean, the dock really shouldn't cost $90 or whatever it is. A ridiculous amount of money for this piece of plastic and tiny little bit of hardware. I think it's stupid. But whatever. It's not over here, so I'm not worried about it. But it is kind of annoying that they didn't include like a lot of things that you kind of need. At the very least, I think they should have put a power supply in there. But after all, they didn't. Did they sell 3DSs without power supplies?
Oh, yeah. They still do, yeah.
It's fucking dumb.
Because there's so many power supplies already out there. And there's third-party ones and all that stuff, too. And if I'm not mistaken, the Switch just charges on USB-C.
It does.
So,
but
you know,
the charger that it comes with, though, charges it much faster than like an average phone charger. Mm. And those chargers are still pretty expensive. And yeah, I get it. You have chargers for your phones and stuff. But I don't know. It seems annoying. Just spend the extra money and then that way you don't have to worry about missing the stuff, I guess.
All right. Well, before we get into the classic game of the week this week and a game that actually happened, let's talk about a game that didn't happen, and it's really sad because this would have been a sequel to Final Fantasy Tactics, which, I mean, God, so many people love that game. And they've continued to make Final Fantasy Tactics, like what they had the Game Boy Advance one, right? And then they had, I think it's been on mobile at some point. If you play Final Fantasy 14, there's like a whole quest line now where they actually have Ramza in it, you know, like they or it's, I think it's a descendant of the original Ramza or something. But anyway, I don't know how it all plays together in that story. I just like the shiny things. But anyway, people love their Final Fantasy Tactics, and it was really such a great game of the PlayStation 1 era. So whatever, why didn't they just do like another Final Fantasy Tactics Advance? Well, they were going to. Director Yasumi Matsuno said that there was a full sequel planned for the original PlayStation, and it was called Final Fantasy Tactics 2. This was a planned project, and it even has assets. And some of those assets have hit the internet this week, and you can actually see. But unfortunately, it didn't happen because they weren't sure if they should outsource the game, which happens a lot. I don't know if you guys know, but games get outsourced to other companies to do the art and things like that. Or, you know, if they should have kept it in-house. Also, they were going from a swap from a 3D project to like a 2D hexagon thing. That was going to be the big twist, is that this was going to be a hexagon. It's kind of like when Civ 5 went to Civ 6, and then now it's on a hexagon grid. Or wait, was that sooner than that? Oh my God. It's been a long time, you guys. Anyways, maybe it was like Civ 3 to Civ 4 went from from square to hexagon. But anyway, it changed a lot. So the project did ultimately get canceled, unfortunately. Don't know why Square just didn't try to do something, because this game was so popular, but it's probably too late now. I don't know. Let me ask that before we get to the classic game of the week. Is it too late to do a Final Fantasy Tactics sequel?
Nope. Never too late.
I totally... even and you wouldn't call it just... well, it's like Castlevania, but, you know... you wouldn't call it...
I don't care for Tactics games, and I wouldn't mind a sequel. I mean, I'm not going to play it, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't play a lot of tactical games, but I'd play Final Fantasy Tactics. And it was something about the job classes in that game were so well done. And maybe because it did have those ties to, you know, the classic Final Fantasy world and stuff, that's part of what made it really cool. I don't know. So, all right. Anyhow, well, let's take a trip down memory lane and check out a different classic game. Because every week on this show, Darkstalkress steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, brats... you should be checking this shit out. Check it out, or else. It's the classic game of the week. Darkstalker stepped into the gaming vault to find a game for you guys to play this week. Darkstalker.
I wonder if this is my first DS game.
I'm not sure. It very well might be.
I picked The World Ends With You, which came out in July 27th, 2007.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a great first 3DS game if it is.
In the U.S., it came out in April 2008. Yes. So here, 10-year-old game. It is an action role-play game with urban fantasy elements. It was done by Square Enix and Jupiter for the Nintendo DS. It is set in Shibuya, and it is... an art style that's inspired by Shibuya and its local culture. And it was also inspired by another game that Jupiter developed, Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. You play as a character named Neku Sakuraba. All of his friends, they are, though, forced to participate in a game that's going to decide their own fate. And it has... a very unique battle system that really uses the Nintendo DS to its best capability, including their combat that takes place on both of the screens and certain attacks that are used with certain motions on the touchscreen or by shouting into the microphone. And of course, pop culture of the day and age really play heavily into the game. It has a great soundtrack, wonderful graphics. The gameplay is absolutely stunning. And of course... it had its own manga development as well by Shiro Amano, who was the writer and artist of the Kingdom Hearts manga.
Stop talking.
I think we're already getting somebody saying something in the chat room. Oh, it's
just go the hell away.
Raginator saying something that has nothing to do with the article.
And I don't think I said that. Anyway.
Yeah.
I got my values.
You have the real ground, which is normal life. And then you have underground, which is alternate plane of existence. So the ones who are, I guess, the chosen dead go there and they play the Reaper's game. So they offer up a treasured possession to the game and then they can... basically play for it and can get brought back to life or transcend to a higher form of existence. If you go higher, you become a Reaper, who are the opponents in future games. So it just really goes through and through and through. And of course, if you are in the underground, you are invisible to people in the real ground, vice versa. You send messages and you get your assignments through like your cell phone, or you get something imprinted on your hand. And
It's kind of a really neat, surrealist kind of, you know, scenario on here. But it's a really, really neat game. It has just a lot of elements to it, and it was, basically for the game is an action role-play game. It's divided into three chapters that are based on the 3 weeks that Neku is playing the Reaper's game. And then each chapter is done by day of the week. So it's just a really, really compelling game, I think. Of course, you also can collect pins called psych pins that give you powers while you're wearing them. And they're used for combat and different abilities in combat. So, like I said, it was developed by the same team that made the Kingdom Hearts series with input from Jupiter, the company that developed Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. And it spent, I think, a good solid 2 years in development, and they wanted it to be a game that could only be played on the DS, which, I mean, as you can see from, for anyone who's played it, as you can see from the combat, yeah, it is specific to that. The soundtrack is really good. It was composed by Takeharu Ishimoto, who does music from across various disciplines. You've got rock, you have electronica, you've got hip-hop. It's just to fit the different, you know, types of moods of living in Shibuya. And then the song in the end credits, Lullaby for You, was done by a pop artist, Jungri. The different artists in there, there's like, really there's just a bunch of, you know, artists that are too many for me to really name. And they also used the Kyuseishu sound streamer for the compression, which is normally used for voiceovers, but it's to make the songs fit on the game media while still having full, you know, the full motion cutscenes and everything. They replaced the full motion with like flash style animations, so it's supposed to have a high clarity and a really striking style. There also was the World Ends With You solo remix that was released on iOS in August 2012 and on Android on June 2014. And it's basically the same game, just, you know, modified the combat for single screen. It also redid all the graphics in high def sprites, and it's optimized to use the Retina display on iOS devices. So it was taken out for a short version because it stopped working with iOS 8, but now it is back in the App Store as of 2015. And then on the Switch, the World Ends With You Final Remix was announced in January 2018 to be released this year. It is a Switch release that allows you to use the Joy-Con in addition to a touchscreen, and it has new scenarios to be added into the game. So it got really, really great reviews. The first shipment of the game sold out, and just was one of the, I'd say, best sellers for the DS, you know, when it came out. So still widely loved, widely played, even 10 years later. So there's the game, The World Ends With You.
All right. Great pick. It's one of those games that you kind of go, wait, this shit's 10 years old? Oh, my gosh.
11. Wow. Yeah. 11, technically.
Yeah. So there it is, your classic game of the week. The World Ends With You. Check that out on the DS or pretty soon on the Switch or on the mobile devices, as Darksoccer just explained to you. So we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We got plenty more OLR to come, including the rapid fire news. Maybe your emails, although we're having email bag problems, but we'll try to fix that. And then more news, including Lego stuff. We'll get into that. So all that and more when we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 732 of our show for this May 27th, 2018, already in progress. So, you know, it is Memorial Day weekend here in the States. A big thank you and memorial to those who have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we can continue to be free enough to do this show weeks on Sunday nights for you guys. So let's not forget what the long weekend is about. Also, I thought maybe we could take this opportunity to give you some updates on our privacy policy, since that's all the rage right now. No, I'm just kidding. We do. What privacy policy? We don't. I mean, you sign up for accounts at Vogue, but we don't really. I mean,
if you show us your pussies, we will post those pictures on the on the internet.
You mean cats? You mean cats?
Pussy right. cats.
She says that because she had Mr. Smush in her lap just a minute ago. Did you get some pictures of Mr. Smush?
No, he got wriggly.
Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't like to be, you know, that whole constricted thing. So, but
he
likes,
did give me snuggles.
He likes you, and I told you why he likes women.
Because boobs?
Because boobs. He's like, he's a ladies man.
Okay, so get this conversation I had with my mom.
Okay.
She's like, how much weight you lose? I said, 87 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you lose any boob? No.
Just one boob.
Well, no, because a lot of times when women lose weight, they also lose boob size.
Sure.
I was like, no, I still have my shelf and the cats aren't complaining. So I was thinking of Mr. Smoosh. And she's like, I don't even know what that means, but I'm mad. So, whatever.
Well, at least she didn't say, I can see your dirty pillows. That's a different reference.
Yes,
anyway.
That is. They're all going to laugh at you.
They're breasts, mother. Anyway. I think that's my life goal, is to star in a Carrie remake. Yes, as a high schooler. I would still be a high schooler.
I did actually see that second Carrie thing.
Oh, the one with Julia Moore.
It was actually not too terrible.
Yeah.
But then I saw the one that they were going to spin off into a Carrie TV series.
Oh, wasn't there a Carrie musical too?
I don't know, but I watched the one that was like the TV version, and it actually was pretty good.
Huh.
And I kind of dug the ending to it. I would have watched a series based on that.
And then there was Drew Carey, and you know.
No, that's different. That's not.
Is although, it different really, Carey?
You know what I would like?
Huh.
A sequel to Firestarter with Drew Barrymore now all grown up.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be some shit?
Careful what you wish for. I mean, reinventions of shit from the past is like all the rage. In this
yeah, but
age.
I want Stephen.
I can't believe Charmed is coming back, and it's not like. It's not Shannon
with
Doherty.
Latina witches.
Or
that's
going to
be
people.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, that's cool for diversity and all, but like Charmed hasn't been gone that long.
Is well, it? They're also bringing back Sabrina, but if I've,
yeah,
I've,
I'll
everything.
Watch the new Sabrina. The new Sabrina is supposed
watch
to be like Riverdale.
The new Sabrina. I haven't watched any of Riverdale, but
it's
I
good.
Might have. How many seasons is it now?
Just two now.
I could probably catch up to that.
Yeah, you
but
could.
I'm also like behind three seasons
so
on Supernatural.
Does that mean it's going to be less funny and more serious now? Or
oh, yeah. It's not going to be like the ABC
I don't
sitcom.
Mind because I would totally. No. Well, and there's now The Wayward Daughters is coming out, mm-hmm. the spinoff of Supernatural, which makes me mad because I would have wanted a spinoff with Joe and her mama. But no, they had to kill them.
Well, I imagine they got to be looking at ending Supernatural. I mean, that show's been on over 10 years, hasn't it?
They're on season 11, I think, just finished.
See, I think. I mean, but, I don't know. Law and Order went for 20, but I mean, I guess Supernatural
I
has
know.
Its fan base.
Jared's still pretty, and so is his wife. I have that's like the couple I have a couple crush on.
Oh, 13 just finished. Oh my God, they're saying season 13 of Supernatural just finished.
You want to know what's funny Jesus. Thing about Supernatural? It was supposed to end after the fifth season. The original writer wrote through five seasons.
Uh-huh.
The story wrapped up in season five. Which is why season six was kind of weird.
Wasn't that kind of like Buffy? Was kind of like that?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they ended Buffy after season seven because even season seven was just kind of crap, except for the musical episode.
Except for the musical.
Well, that and I finally got my Buffy Spike action and I was pretty happy.
Azette says Supernatural is the only show that survived the WB. That's right. It dates. Oh, my God. It's that old. No, America's Top Model is still going. Oh, no. Wait. Was that a UPN show?
I don't know.
But America's Top Model is still going. Tyra Banks is back. I'm waiting for the inevitable, because Top Model's now a VH1 show. And now it's crazy because Drag Race kind of started. Like,
how about America's Top Drag Race?
Well, Drag Race started as like a spoof of Top Model. And now in some ways it's almost more in the pop culture lexicon than Top Model. So
although
weird how
we, you know, we did have Raja doing Miss Tyra herself.
That's
smizing.
Right. That's right. Smizing. Raja was on Top Model. My
no.
God.
She did Tyra Banks in Snatch Game.
No, but she was also some type of like stylist or something advisor in the early seasons of Top Model.
But
but
still, she did Tyra, and that made everything for her Snatch Game.
Yeah. It did. Anyway, all right, we got to move on. Got to get back to some video games and some rapid fire news. Quickly talking about some other things that have happened in the world of gaming. We'll start with you, Loki.
Everything old is new again, and Killer 7 is coming to Steam this fall. Yay! It'll be optimized for PC. Not much to optimize though; it's pretty flat shaded. So, but it is a cool game. So, looking forward to that. And then along in the same lines, there's a new Leisure Suit Larry game coming out. That's right. Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry. It's been...
they totally missed an opportunity for a play on that old movie with Robin Williams, the What Dreams May Come, by calling it Wet Dreams May Come. Come on.
No. It's supposed to be a parody of Dark Dreams Don't Die. So it looks cool. I mean, it's a very... I don't know. It looks...
Like the last
pretty.
Leisure Larry
like the
game
artwork
was
is great.
Horrible.
Yeah, the last one was horrible. This doesn't look like the last one. I mean, it's definitely more of like it's got that.
I'm assuming someone new has the license.
Yes, Assemble Entertainment is the one that's putting it out. It's actually on Steam. That's how we kind of found out about it. They're gonna do. It's gonna be sold for $30, and it's gonna be coming out October 24th, I believe. Yeah. So you know, yeah, October 24th. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm with Dungeon Buster in chat saying, after Magna Cum Laude, I'm surprised that anyone would do another one.
Well, this looks different, though. It looks like an actual like adventure game, and the graphics are really good. I mean,
it's a legendary franchise. It's worth trying again.
And I know the last one is kind of just a remake of the first one, so this one I think is supposed to be just like its own, like a brand new game. So it'd be interesting to see.
All right. Anyway, let's move on to some other stories. Talking about 20XDX, one of my, or that's what I call it, 20XDX, or 20XX, I guess. Anyway, 20XX.
20XD6.
I like 20XDX. 20XX is going to be coming to the Nintendo Switch. That's awesome. I'm surprised Capcom's going to let that happen. But 20XX is different enough from Mega Man where it'll be different. So that's really cool. It's going to be coming out on July 10th. So that's really not long. If you've never played 20XX, I've streamed this game a couple times. Once I did it myself, and then once my buddy Delvin from Video Game Realness and I were like co-streaming, and it was a lot of fun. So maybe we'll have to do that again if Delvin's out there listening. But anyway, 20XX, it's like a roguelike, but it's mixed with Mega Man, and it's really cool. And you can do, of course, full co-op, and you can do that on the couch or online. So I guess you'll need Nintendo online service come September to be able to play 20XX online. So pretty cool. I will definitely probably double dip for 20XX. Would you like that? I will definitely probably double dip. Anyway, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, even though we talked about that earlier, it should be noted that Europe... on the Nintendo 3DS and worldwide on the Xbox One, a slight delay. The European 3DS release is now on May 31st. The Xbox One version worldwide on June 6th. And Inti Creates taking responsibility for that, saying the mistake's on us. We apologize to the fans affected by this from the bottom of our hearts. And this is the first time we've ever done such a large-scale, multi-platform, multi-region simultaneous release, and we were unable to properly take into account how much time would be required to get each platform's online store set up in each region. So they're doing a my bad on that. Inti Creates has been on fire lately. I mean, I know Mighty No. 9 was kind of eh, but that Blaster Master game was fucking rad. This game, I'm sure, is going to do very well for them. So, you know, they're allowed a little mistake here and there where the game
gets
delayed.
I did pick up Blaster Master this week. So I did pick up Blaster Master Zero with all the DLC. So I have yet to play that, though.
Oh, you should. It's so fun. Anyway, and I love that. Delvin just popped into the chat room. He must have been listening out there. Hey, we definitely need to do that stream again, Rob. All right, you got it. It's a date. ActDef says, in other news, I did 4 legendary Pokemon raids, and I didn't catch a single one, but I'm now level 37. I'm only like 100k XP into level 37, so you're right behind me, ActDef. And I also have tried to catch Latias and still have not caught Latias. And I'm actually kind of pissed that Ho-Oh came back, because now people don't want to do Latias anymore. Because like, ooh, shiny Ho-Oh, that's the only one I want to spend my raid passes on. So I'm a little irritated.
You don't need any shiny Ho-Ohs.
Pretty impressed they didn't change the name, because that just means Phoenix.
Yeah, no, not here. So, anyway, that's where I'm at with my Pokemon Go. Let's move on with some more. So, actually, I should mention this quickly since Pokemon Go randomly got brought up. The Alolan stuff in Pokemon Go, that was something they announced is going to be happening. So instead of Gen 4 or Gen 5, they're going to just fast forward to Gen 7's Alolan
Remixed,
Gen 1 forms. Yeah. Which is the Exeggutor with the giant like palm tree head and the Meowth or the Persian that looks like Garfield. You know, so
the purple Niasu Meowth.
Yeah.
It's who looks like he's giving someone some major side eye.
Some of them are really pretty, though. Like the Vulpix, that's like the snow Vulpix. Really pretty. So
I just want the new Executor with the ridiculously tall neck.
I can't wait to put that in a gym. I think it should sit on the ground next to the gym, and then the head comes up and pops up in the gym.
I hate this stupid challenge where you have to do 10 great throws because I suck at them.
Oh, yeah. Those things make you get
I've got like 7.
Isn't there like one, like, because I have, I don't, I'm not that far progressed through, but like to complete all of like the mythic ones, do you have to do like, there's one that has like an excellent throw or something like that? You have to get like an
I've gotten one
an
ever.
Excellent throw. No, it's what you get from the Pokestops is random.
I need one more Oddish or Bellsprout.
Oh. Oh, no, for the Mew.
The Mew, yeah.
For the Mew. You do have to do an excellent curveball in the last phase, but because you have to do something where you have to feed 50 berries to Pokemon, like not in gyms, you have to catch 50 berries. Like, you just keep trying to do the excellent curve, and eventually you'll get it. It's really easy to do on giant Pokemon like Whalmer. I'm trying to think what else has a gigantic hitbox.
I've heard Taro or Taurus or whatever the
they're okay. I'm trying. There's something really common that also has a giant fucking hitbox that's pretty easy. Whalmer's the one that comes to my mind.
That's my one shiny.
Oh really? And I don't have a shiny Whalmer.
I caught it at my desk at work. Yeah. I mean, I was working and not playing Pokemon Go. I was on my break.
Ponyta does have a big hitbox. Azette in our chat room says that is one that you can.
I don't
do.
Ever remember getting an excellent throw on anything. So
just keep practicing.
I've had
you'll get
like
it
one ever.
I got an excellent curveball. Like, I was just feeding the berry and doing it, and I got it on my second one. Actually, ironically, I think
like,
it was
how
a
are you supposed to get an excellent?
When the dot is really tiny, you just try to hit the dot.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Because I usually just throw it when the thing's at its widest.
That's nice. So great is when it's like at half, and then excellent is like when it's almost gone.
I thought that's just how close to the center you get.
I thought that was like your...
Oh, well, I've been doing it wrong this whole time.
I thought that was like your option of how to... Like how well... Like when you're doing bursting, you know, like it would increase your
like Ingress
percentage. That's what I was thinking it was, like an Ingress. So it was full out, then that was supposed to be like your better chance.
I played Ingress today. We did it. We tried to do a big triangle that would cover the city.
I need more stuff. I haven't wanted to play because I haven't... I forgot to farm at Disneyland, too.
I got stuff. You need stuff. All right. Anyway, let's move on.
I'm going to take back work.
All right. Yeah, stay on that because there's a player on the other team there that's very annoying with that portal.
I'll get him fired.
All right.
I'm kidding.
Moving on. You've got some rapid
fire. By the way, my new friend, Dana.
I know. She's the frenemy here locally. That's so funny.
Yeah, she's involved in an organization I'm involved in.
She still owes me a drink. Well, let her know that. I want to cash in on that drink. We need to all get a drink at some point.
Add her on Facebook.
I'm like really little on Facebook, though.
So do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I guess it's my turn, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so there's a listing for Mega Man 11 on the PlayStation Store in Singapore. Oh, Singapore. Sorry, that is a great... Now I forgot the name of the band. Shona Knife song. Anyway, Capcom in their press release listed something about a double gear system that would allow you to boost Mega Man's speed and power for a, quote, new twist on the satisfying gameplay the series is known for. So we'll see what that is. Like, my brain's already going to kind of theories.
Is it
on this
just
one.
Mighty Number 9?
I don't know. But wouldn't it be neat, like, if you had, like, a primary power as your weapon and a secondary power from another boss is, like...
Oh, that's right. 11's the really nice-looking one that they have coming out. That's right. I forgot all about that.
But I would think, like, if you could equip, like, a second boss weapon and have that be, like, what powers, like, speed or, like, burst speed or ongoing running speed or something like that, that would be kind of cool. Don't steal my ideas, Capcom. Unless it's the idea of actually putting out, like, more good games. And then we have another character in ranked mode for Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo for the 30th Anniversary Collection, and that is Akuma, also known as Goki. And he's pretty much disallowed usually from Street Fighter tournaments, but he is in ranked battle now. So there you go. Everyone cry because everyone's going to do nothing but play Goki. So there you go.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some releases, some upcoming video games that you can soon find in your store, starting with the U.S., Loki.
Yeah, lots of stuff coming out. So we've got a game called Agony, which is a survivor horror game coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have Fallen Legion Rise to Glory that's on the Switch. Harvest Moon Light of Hope Special Edition on the Switch and PlayStation 4. Ikaruga on the Switch. We have Legend of K Anniversary on the Switch. And now let's see some non-Switch games. Well, at least this one. Sega Genesis Classics. That's going to be on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Then we have Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And a game that I originally read completely wrong in my head as Yoshi's Island Express, but it's Yoku's Island Express. And that's on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. It'd just be weird if it was on non-Nintendo platforms. And then we have Full Metal Panic, Fight Who Dares Win. That's on PlayStation 4. And Liar Princess and the Blind Prince on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and the Vita.
That sounds like an odd couple.
It's the worst TV sitcom ever. Yesterday's Origins on the Nintendo Switch. And I believe that is it for this week.
I like the way you said Ikaruga, by the way. You're very excited. It made me, I don't know why, but Jamie, you'll get this in my brain. All I heard was Ivy Winters.
Winters. How could she?
Ikaruga.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, it's
That's what makes
race.
It funny. That's what makes it funny. All right. Ikaruga. That's what I'm going to say it from now on.
No. Just say it right. Ikaruga. It's a fun word. Actually, it is
Ikaruga.
Fun to say.
Ikaruga.
It is fun to say, though, just as a word. Ikaruga.
It is.
It's a fun word. Kind of like undulating is fun to say.
All right. Some other fun things to say. Upcoming releases in Japan, including the same Full Metal Panic Fight Who Dares Wins. That same game is out in Japan this week. Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle on PlayStation 4. There is some new keyboard coming out because, remember, the PlayStation 4 will rock a USB keyboard. Also, Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1
Rebooth.
Plus. Reboot. Liar Princess and the Blind Prince also getting its release in Japan. There's also a Famitsu Deluxe Pack. And that Blaze Blue, like, is in all these different, like, crystal sets, T-shirt packs, you name it. Also in Japan this week on PlayStation 4, Shantae, you stay, Half Genie mm-hmm. Hero.
I knew you were going to do that.
Well, how can you not with Shantae? Anyway.
But has Shantae ever cosplayed as Shantae?
Has Shantae ever played Ikaruga?
Has Shantae sashayed away?
I hate this show sometimes. All right.
That's okay. Sometimes we hate ourselves.
Anyway, I'm laughing so hard it's causing a coughing fit. Hey, there's also games coming out on the PlayStation Vita because they still love the Vita in Japan, including Liar Princess and the Blind Prince. Sweet Pool. So you can play pocket pool with your PlayStation Vita.
I was thinking like it would be Gwenpool or something.
I thought it was just like a thing like, you know, you just swipe left or right depending on whether you thought the pool's nice.
Just a way to knock some balls around. And then Cafe Culere is the other game that's coming out in Japan this week. I don't know what they serve at Cafe Culere. I'm trying to see if it's a game that I recognize.
They serve fish, Rob.
Oh, God.
They serve anime schoolgirls.
Anime school boys that are kind of androgynous.
Okay, androgynous serving. Anime school children.
So what's the opposite of serving fish?
Fujishiro Mao is a second-year high school student who loves sweets and wants to be a pâtissier chef. Is that like a
pâtissier?
Pastry
chef.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Pastry chef. So anyway, God, this sounds complicated. Basically, like the love of the life is returning, blah, blah, blah. There's a twin involved and good Lord.
It's a soap opera.
It's cafe drama. For those of you that love the drama.
Cafe drama.
Oh my God, that almost is like the book I'm reading right now, which is not very well written, but kind of entertaining. It's called Drag Queen. About a gay lawyer who finds out he was adopted and meets his drag queen twin brother.
And lastly, on the Nintendo Switch this week, Blaze Blue is also out on the Switch. And that Liar Princess and the Blind Prince, also on the Switch. Okay, MXC in chat says Sweet Pool is a boys' love / horror game. What? Hold on, now I got to look. I just assumed it was a pool simulator. Oh, no.
This is not anything.
That is not a... There will be some balls getting
okay,
knocked around in this simulator.
I'll play this one.
Hold up. What is this where the dude is like erotically like grabbing the fence going like, is there a problem?
I don't know about you, but that, whenever I stand next to a chain link fence, I have to.
You have to just thread your two fingers through the chain and just being like, this is my natural pose.
You have to be like Kelly Bundy in a music video.
If you're listening on the podcast and this makes no sense to you, you need to look this up. Sweet pool, which I assumed was a pool game. I assumed it was an anime chibi chick like pool game.
Okay? Rob, this is Japanese releases.
Apparently, Yoji's missed a semester of school due to his poor health, but now that he's back, he can't help but notice classmate Tetsuyo's piercing gaze. The boy's hard-to-read expressions and seeming lack of emotions give Yoji the creeps. Yet when Tetsuyo suddenly touches his neck, feelings of unbridled lust well up inside of him. What the fuck does Japan get these games and we don't?
I think piercing gaze should be like a name of like a visual novel series.
I had no idea there was like subtle like...
I'm going to lend you some of my yaoi anime, okay?
Oh my god.
You need to see the...
I feel like I'm 40 and there's still so much of the world I haven't seen.
Ranma's so disappointed in you right now.
Apparently.
Rob, you need to see where the corncob vibrator came from. That's all. Corncob vibrator. It's a thing.
Right.
And it came from an anime.
MXC says Sweet Pool is getting released officially in English on PC. Vita version, probably not. Well, I'm assuming this is going to be on GOG.
It's, you know,
not
what?
On Steam.
I think. Why don't I live? If I could live stream that, I freaking would.
Hold on, because this is even better. There's a trailer. Oh, it's so mysterious. You play that mandolin. Like, tell me what this is about. Like, don't show me the logo.
It's an fast forward intro.
I'm adding this on my list right now. $75.
There you go. Game of the week, Sweet Pool. All right.
He was eating an ice cream pop.
All right. Well, you know what? If Sweet Pool is not your thing,
I'll play it.
Don't worry, because coming in June, Muv Love, which I always read as Muff Love.
It's coming out here, too. I was going to mention that, but I was going to wait till June.
All right. So if this is not your thing, Muff Love is next month. All right. Moving on. How about the UK, Dark Sakura? You'll have to take your eyes off that Sweet Pool for a minute.
Well, no, I was actually checking something else out. On May 29th, we have Owlboy for Switch and PlayStation. Agony for PlayStation and Xbox. Also on the 29th. On the 31st, The Legend of K Anniversary Edition for Switch. We have Tennis World Tour on June 1st. And yesterday, Origins, also on June 1st for Switch.
All right.
Symphony.
Now, usually at this point in the show, we would get into the mailbag, but we're having some server problems behind the scenes, so Jamie can't get in there tonight. So we'll work on that and be back in there next week. Although I did peek, and there was only one email in there from Robert M., and we love hearing from him because we heard from him last week. But it's one of those timeless questions that can be asked next week. So we'll just roll that over to next week. Sorry, Robert M., but what a tease, right? Going to make you wait one more week. But blame these weird server problems we're having. But at the same time, our server space is graciously donated. So you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. So once in a while, we just have to forego the mailbag. You can still put emails in there for next time. And that's participate@orangeloungeradio.com. All right. Meanwhile, we've got some more news stories to cover before we get to the Skype line, which will be opened up at Orange Lounge Radio. All one word. Loki, start us off.
All right. So, you know, of course, there's the whole hacking of these Switch consoles because there's no way to prevent it. But apparently, one person that was, you know, big part of the homebrew community for the Nintendo Switch, Shiny Quagsire, has been banned from using the Switch online and basically got an error code saying the use of online services on this console is currently restricted by Nintendo. Please contact customer service. And but it was weird though, because his Switch is not hacked, and so he got that. And basically, you know, he did reach out to Nintendo. So thank you for patiently waiting for a reply on your situation. Fortunately, given that the information you provided, we will be unable to cancel your ban on your system. Thank you, Nintendo, for doing that. Because
well, I mean, that's a risk you take when you. You know, mess around with those systems.
I don't know. That's just.
I mean, was it necessary? Maybe not, but we all know it's a risk you take.
I guess, yeah. So, But, you know, the people they really should be coming after, though, are some hackers that are affecting some games like Splatoon 2. So apparently there's been some hackers that have gone through and actually are cheating in the game. They've tweaked the weapons to basically throw them out of balance, including massively updating the rate of fire of a weapon that's meant to be slow, powerful blasts that resemble hidden non-competitive weapons used in salmon or modes like Salmon Run and stuff like that. There's videos, I guess, of them, you know, changing parameters as if, for example, limiting the charge time on a sniper rifle so they can fire it like a machine gun, or turning completely invisible and invulnerable. No word on whether, you know, I know they're banning on some people using the modded firmwares, but it's weird. I don't know. They haven't really been able to track all these down yet, but it's unfortunate to see this kind of stuff affecting things. So hopefully they'll get on top of it.
Yeah, and that's the stuff they really need to do something about. You're right, because, you know, when they ruin games like that online, like, that can just, like, kill a game's online presence when you just know you're going to run into cheaters right away, you know?
Well, now that they're in the online space, time to get used to it. It's been shit that Microsoft and Sony have been fighting for years, so yeah, get used to it.
All right, let's go over to Jamie with our next story.
Well, we have some XSEED games that are coming out. The actually a good number to come out on Switch. We have Gal Metal, which is rhythm music game. Plus, I think that the name is really awesome because it also kind of makes me think of baby metal. We have the game is also going to be coming out in Europe. We also have titles like Gungrave VR, Corpse Party 2, and Toho Scarlet Curiosity, also confirmed by XSEED. But, I mean, Gal Metal, though, looks really cool. It's a motion-controlled rhythm game, so you use the Joy-Con to lead a female band all the way through. And just looking at the style, it's got that kind of neat cel-shaded style. So I'm really, really excited to play that one. I can't wait for it to come over.
I think people like the XSEED stuff and kind of the niche stuff that, you know, they do.
Well, Switch seems like the perfect console to bring it on.
Yes, Switch is doing very well with a lot of that niche stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if that's it, then let's party like it's 1984. And you remember the Garbage Pail Kids? That's right, those infamous trading cards from the 1980s that I think stayed in the 80s. These never really came back, did they, ever? I think they kind of, like, stayed there. If you don't know what they were, I guess you could just define them as, like, Mad Magazine-level parodies of things. Although, if you don't know what Garbage Pail Kids are, you probably don't know what Mad Magazine is either. So maybe I'm just dating myself. But anyway, look it up. Google it. Garbage Pail Kids were a trading card and sticker series, and now they're going to be a mobile game. It is a card-collecting role-playing game. So if you like Magic, Raginator, listen up. This might be up your alley. Maybe this will be a game that you'd be into. You can virtual battle with cards from the original 1980s Garbage Pail Kids lineup, as well as more contemporary card series, because I had no idea these fucking things were still going. Yeah, Dungeon Buster in chat says they were the anti-Cabbage Patch Kids. Yeah, so I'm kind of surprised they're still going. But then again, Cabbage Patch Kids, I think, are still going. So I don't know. It's weird how those things kind of come around. So anyway, the new mobile game is coming from Jago Studios and Tops. It's an RPG card battler. It will be available on iOS and Android. If you want more information, gpkthegame.com. Which makes me ask, what 80s craze do you think deserves to come back in gaming form?
What Popples.
I would say you can't do that on television, is the 80s craze. I would like to see come back in video game form. Come on.
Like a WarioWare game.
Yeah, you have to escape the children's television sausage factory. And you know, if you hit the wrong button, you get slimed. Like you have to fight barf.
That does not compute.
Yeah, I think
and there's escape from locker jokes.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, you can't do that on television would be a great one to come back. What do you think, Logie? Eighties thing that should come back.
Laser tag.
Hold on now. That would be like me saying Gremlins. They already had Gremlins games, although I wouldn't mind new Gremlins games.
They re-released the Gizmo doll. Hmm. I had one when that movie came out, though, and the McDonald's records.
Let's see. In chat, Dungeon Buster says Gummy Bears, the RPG. Well, you get the gummy ship in Kingdom Hearts, so it's like close.
That's not the same.
It's not. You're right. It's not the same. I tried. DDR Mike in chat. Wow, long time no see. DDR Mike. That's a blast from blast. DDR Mike in chat says Double Dare. Oh, wait, it is coming back. That's right. But not Mark Summers.
Yeah,
which...
he's doing color commentary on it. He's not hosting, but he's doing commentary.
Oh, okay, so they found a space for him. That's cool.
Yep.
Well, that's good because he... You know, he didn't like doing that at all because the OCD he had, he didn't like being the sloppy stuff. So that's good that he has a offhands role this time around.
Yeah.
That's cool. I miss Unwrapped. That's my Mark Summers jam. Let's see. Azette in chat says, they made a new Teddy Ruxpin and he's terrifying.
He is terrifying. Yes.
Carmen San Diego says, Azette. Netflix series for Carmen San Diego, if I remember right. That came up on the show a few weeks ago.
Then I thought there was a movie, too. Weren't they doing a movie?
I think so. So, let's see. Oh, Azette also suggests Legends of the Hidden Temple. It's getting a
that
little more
90s. That back as a terrible movie.
Yeah, they did a movie on Nickelodeon like a few years ago.
I don't know
ago.
Why,
yeah.
But they're doing a lot of the 90s stuff coming back. Like, I know Rocco's Modern Life has a movie coming out. They're doing one for Invader Zim. There's something else.
Kenan from Kenan and Kel is still on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Still.
He actually, I think he is now, like, one of the longest.
Longer than Daryl Hammond at this point?
Yeah.
Wow. And what, Tim Meadows was on there forever, too.
Yeah, so, he's one of the longest.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, hosts there. So, interesting.
All right.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Kenan from Kenan and Kel. Where's Kel? Where's his Saturday Night Live moment? Or was he Mad TV?
I think he did have a cameo. They did a Good Burger bit.
Oh,
with
did
him.
They? Oh, God.
But I don't think. I don't know.
All right. And Bobby Blackwolf says he is the longest as of this year. Yeah. So, like, this is. Wow, that's impressive, because Daryl Hammond and Tim Meadows both were on that show forever. I think Daryl Hammond a little bit longer. But yeah, wow, okay, cool. All right, anyhow, let's move on with a couple more stories, and then we're going to get to the Skype line. Loki.
So this is awesome. Apparently coming out of the Licensing Expo, which I didn't even know was a thing. Licensing Expo 2018. Activision Blizzard has announced that they have partnered with Lego to produce Lego Overwatch sets with multiple sets and various price points, all of which probably gonna be expensive because Lego is expensive. This is right up my alley, though. So we don't know what it's gonna be. It could be brickheads, it could be, you know, actual sets, but we'll see.
I'm into Overwatch Legos. That's awesome. That's something that Alan would really be into too, I think.
Yeah,
cool.
So I've seen some like mocks that people have done for like the characters that look pretty awesome.
I hope you get to build some of the stages, like Volskaya Industries, and you know, all the little,
it would be cool.
Yeah, Route 66.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know. It'd be awesome. Anyway, sadly, I have to end on a sad note this week because you know, we did have some losses in the game industry this week. So I'm sure many of you on social media heard that Total Biscuit or John Bain did lose his battle with cancer this week, and that was all over Twitter. His wife Jenna actually posted on Twitter that Total Biscuit passed on May 24th, and although I can't confess that I'm like super familiar with his stuff, I do know that he was big influential in the YouTube scene and the indie, you know, stuff.
He was big on like PC gaming. Like, one of the things he liked to do, like, he had a group like talking about that they were you know, like the FPS stuff, you know, making sure games were actually 60 FPS on like PC versions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And just kind of keeping, you know, like a lot of the ethics and games and stuff like that in the gaming industry. He was kind of a proponent of that. But, like, I know some people are kind of angry at him because of, like, his stances on, like, some Gamergate stuff. But I don't think he really got into the thick of it. It's more of just, like, ethics, just actually keeping companies honest as far as...
Yeah, the perception I got from that was that, like, he actually was about the actual ethics side. And then when it was apparent that it was more than that, he was like, y'all are crazy. Like, that's kind of...
Kind of
what I got, the gist that I got from that, yeah.
But yeah, he has a, you know, I mean...
But again, I didn't follow him so closely, so...
So, but like, you know, he's got his web series out there. I mean, there's the WTF stuff talking about different games, like, you know, highlighting indie stuff. He tried to do, like, his own Steam curator page and stuff. They would highlight games there, so... I don't know.
Well, I think the hardest part of this story is that he was only 33. I mean, you know, and I know there's like this big meme that's going around the internet right now about like when you're 35, you should. And it's all these like it's this play on these articles out there that are like, you should have so much money saved for retirement. And everybody's looking at it going, ha, 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 ha. I don't have a goddamn thing saved for retirement at 35. So like there's a bunch of plays on that. But, you know, in like, honestly, my first reaction, and it didn't even have anything to do with this unfortunate passing of cancer and so forth. But like, when I first saw that, I was like, you know, when you turn 35, you should be like happy that you got to be 35. Because, like, I know for me, I had that really scary incident when I was 30. And I think we all have known people. Like, you know, I had a good friend of mine that passed away because of swine flu when she was in her early 20s. Like,
yeah, don't ignore health issues.
It fucking sucks. So, you know, anyway.
Except yeah. We don't have universal health care.
No, we don't. And that's a whole nother thing. But...
because they say they're pro-life, but they're really just pro-birth.
Anyway, so... as if that wasn't enough, I mean, that was, the gaming industry was devastated right there. But then also, I don't know if you guys had heard this too, Ted Dabney passed away this week. You may not know the name, but he co-founded Atari alongside Nolan Bushnell. So he passed this week as well. Now, he was 81, which, you know, is a little more the age, but I still think anything like under 90 is, you know, sad. And even, you know, sometimes when it's over 90, people are living longer in this day and age. But regardless, at least you kind of go, okay, well, 81 is kind of where the average life expectancy is right now. So, but anyway, it is still tragic because he did pass and he was one of the co-founders of Atari. And who knows where gaming would be today without Atari and, you know, Pong and everything that 2600 brought us and all that. So news of his death was announced on Facebook by a video game historian. Because I don't think this guy has been very much in the public eye since, you know, obviously Atari has really kind of gone behind the scenes. But without Dabney, you know, he was crucial in creating Computer Space, which was basically the coin-operated version of Space War, which then kind of made way for, you know, Atari to really come through. So anyhow, he passed away as well. So it has been a shitty week in the gaming world, that's for sure. Anyhow, let's try to make things a little bit happier here and talk about whatever you would like to on our phones. If you'd like to give us a call, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you'd like to give us a call and talk about whatever might be on your mind this week. Maybe there's something you're playing. Maybe there's a news article we missed that you'd like to talk about, or who knows what. let me check in with Loki and see if there's any last-minute stories while we wait for the phones to light up here.
No, not really. It's been a pretty slow week.
Yeah, it's been a lighter week, I think, with Memorial Day on the horizon. But we do have a call coming in. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Reginator.
Hey, what's on your mind, Reginator?
Not a whole lot. Well, you know, since you know, you were talking about 80s revival, you know, a few minutes ago before you opened up you know, the phone lines.
Sure.
Like, I think I'll make, you know, the bulk of my call about that.
Okay.
You know, it's pretty much a given that most of us know that a lot of the, you know, video game spin-off media out there, you know, over the years, you know, it hasn't been all that great. Case in point, the infamous Super Mario Brothers movie that came out in the 90s
right. Is
a prime example of that. But still, even with that being said, are there any, movies or TV shows based on gaming that you may have seen growing up that, you know, weren't like, Casablanca level grade or Dr. Zhivago grade, but you still loved it anyway?
Absolutely. In fact, it's almost kind of timely because I would say the Super Mario Brothers Super Show with the Zelda cartoons on Fridays. Like, you know, it wasn't going to win an Emmy, but it was a good time, and it was stuff I remember as a kid, and I really loved the Zelda cartoons especially. The Mario cartoons were decent, too, but the reason why I say it's timely is that I believe those just hit Netflix this week. So if you wanted to catch up and you happen to be a Netflix person, you can catch up on the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
I thought those were on there for a while. They've been on there for a while.
They've been on, I think, some of the other services. I don't think they were on Netflix.
No, they were. Now.
Were they?
Because we've watched them, yeah.
Thank you for bringing up that show, Internet High Five. You know, in fact, I grew up watching it myself. In fact, there's not to show anyone else's channels on Twitch, but there's a channel on Twitch called ConTV. Every so often, they do show that show on there as well, so... So that's something to watch if you don't have Netflix or whatever. So,
you know, otherwise I would say I was always a big fan and really still am of game shows. So like the other thing that honestly comes to my mind is things like not just Nick Arcade, which was a little more 90s, but also Starcade, which is funny because, you know, you can think of Starcade as that place that used to be a Disneyland that Jamie was referencing at the top of the show. Or you can think of it as that.
That was Astrocade, Rob.
Oh, I thought you called it Starcade. I thought it was Starcade.
Astrocade.
Oh, okay. I thought it was also close. All right. Well, whatever. Well, anyway, Starcade was an old game show from 81, 82.
It's supposed to be coming back.
It was. They always say it's going to be coming back, and then they never do. They still haven't named a host, which I'm waiting
Hello.
For that call. Wait for the call, y'all. But they did a Twitch marathon of that not that long ago. They did yes. every single episode of Starcade, I remember, was to build hype for a Blu-ray set, I think, or something mm-hmm. that they were going to be coming out with. So, I mean, that was kind of gaming. Because, like, what else do we have from that era? Captain N, which admittedly, I didn't watch a ton of that. I'm aware it was a thing that exists, and I knew of it. But I don't think they showed it at a good time here on the local networks, if at all.
Yeah. Admittedly, I watched Captain N. I knew it wasn't great. In fact, no, Mega Man and Pit, well, they called him... Kid Icarus on the show for whatever reason, but that aside, I thought those two characters were a little bit on the annoying side, but you gotta remember, they came out in the late 80s, and it was in the prime of Nintendo's hype, they're kind of golden age, if you will, so everyone had Nintendo fever, so and there wasn't a whole lot in terms of gaming related shows on TV at the time, so I kind of grinned a bear that even with the annoyances, and still, even with that being said, ignoring the annoyances, it was still somewhat decent,
Yeah, somebody in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, VidPower says GamePro TV was my jam. You know, that guy JD Roth that hosted that. He went on to do he was the co-creator. I mean, he does a lot of trash TV now. Like, it's just, like, straight-up trash TV. He was the co-creator of The Biggest Loser on NBC, which is trash. He hosted that Unanimous reality show on Fox that I remember was, like, kind of a Big Brother knockoff. It was super trash. And then, God, what else did he do? It says right now he is currently the announcer of the ABC TV show Extreme Weight Loss. Never seen it, but it's probably trash. So... Yeah. Just kind of interesting.
Yeah, as long as I thought of it, granted, I'm not entirely sure if it would be considered retro or not, but the Final Fantasy movies, especially the first one, The Spirits Within, I know a lot of people like to hate on it, saying, in fact, it's not a real Final Fantasy movie.
Hey, watch it, because that's exactly what I don't hate on it, but my problem is, like, it wasn't Final Fantasy at all. They should have just called it The Spirit Within.
Yeah, well, the way I look at it is this. Now, if you look at each of the, all the actual Final Fantasy games, for the most part, they're very, very different from each other. Like, 8's very different from 7, 9's very different from 8, so on and so forth. And granted, there's certain common elements in the games. Like, you're going to see chocobos, you're going to see... a character named Sid, so on and so forth. And, some of those elements are kind of cleverly hidden in the movie. Like, the only way you'll see a chocobo is on the main character's pajamas.
Well, in my opinion, that's why it flopped, is because those things were so, like, subtle that, they shouldn't have had to hide it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was my issue with it. But this is a debate that's like 15 years old at this point. So I'm on that slide.
Yeah. Yeah, but ultimately my point is I took all my arguments I mentioned into consideration. And even with that being said, I still found the movie really, really great, despite the fact that a lot of people hate it.
Maybe it's one of those things I need to watch again, but I was expecting something Final Fantasy, and it just kind of wasn't. And I remember that at that time, they were working on 8 and the movie around the same time. And I remember saying this before, and I'll say it again. It would have been maybe different if the movie had been Final Fantasy 8 and Final Fantasy 8 had been the movie. Because I think Final Fantasy 8 has a great story that is very Final Fantasy. But Final Fantasy 8 is probably the worst Final Fantasy game, in my opinion. That's my opinion only. Final Fantasy 8 is like the worst of all Final Fantasy games because of its battle system and the junction draw thing and all that, like, ruins it, and the scaling of the monsters and all that stuff. Like, it's not a fun game, in my opinion. Whereas the story's great. I would have liked Final Fantasy 8 to have just been a movie.
Yeah, well, you know, I look at it this way. You know, they tried something new with 8 with the junction system. Did it pan out well? No, but at least they had the balls to try something new. I mean, you know, there's so many games out there, you know, your game publishers and developers out there that, you know, kind of churn out sequels after sequels that without trying anything new, and we complain that it's same old cookie-cutter games, you know, and we complain that it gets boring after a while. You know, to Square's credit, they tried something new with 8, and unfortunately, just one time it flopped, so... Yeah.
But some people would, like, fight me on the street for saying that. So, you know, everybody's got their opinion. Anyway, Rage Nader, I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in a couple more calls. But thanks for the call.
Sure. Have a nice night.
Later. You too. All right.
Here's a story.
Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to call in. Yeah, you got a last-minute story?
Yeah, I'm just trying to check the date on this article. Yeah, this is recent. So apparently Samsung has to pay Apple $539 million for copying iPhone features.
Didn't Apple have to pay them?
No, this was from the appeal court.
No, not this week, but like a previous thing months ago.
Yeah, and it's looking like it's getting turned around.
So all these companies just sue the shit out of each other.
Yeah, so. But I just think it's absolutely hilarious.
Anyway. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Akdeft.
Hey, Akdeft, what's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I have a story I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Not really you covered today, but... something that happened or is happening right now in Mexico with video games.
Oh, please. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, right now there's a somewhat contest. It's an initiative, more likely. It's called Videojuegos MX or Video Games MX Mexico. Sorry. And it's a competition made by the ESA, the Entertainment Software Association, and also the government of Mexico, and many private and public initiatives or industry leaders. And it's a good initiative. It promotes the creation of video games and a bigger industry here in Mexico it's still growing. But there's one thing about it, and that's the thing I don't like about it. The prices they're given out for, there's three categories. There's a category for people under 17 years, and like the prices there are a video game console. So that's kind of okay.
For doing what? This is for making games?
Like for example, for the category for under 17, you have to develop an idea. Not necessarily the video game, but an idea.
Oh, okay. It's like a treatment or something. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but there's also a category for university or college students.
Okay.
And there's the development involved. They have to make a game. They have to make either a mobile game or a console or PC game. The prices there are 25,000 pesos.
Okay.
Which right now with the how it is with the equivalency and all that, the conversions, it's around
probably what, like
$2,000? Sorry, I got the conversion wrong. I was going on Google. Sorry. But it's around $1,000.
Oh wow.
$1,200, yeah. So it's not enough. That's like really not even to pay the scholarship for any person that goes to a private school that's where the only places here in Mexico that offer like career and development for video games.
So the prizes are not all that, it sounds like. What is their point with this? Are they just trying to get more folks in Mexico excited about game development? Are they trying to, you know, figure out, like, maybe the next big game idea is in Mexico, you know, trying to get more game design out of that? Like, is that what they're going for with this?
Yeah, they're trying to impulse the industry. And basically, this is the third year they have done this. They have done it in 2015. In 2016, they skipped 2017 for some reason, and they're doing this again. But that's not the only categories. There's a professional category for people already in the industry making games.
Okay.
And the prize there, the top prize, the best game in the contest the contest is 100,000 pesos.
So that's going to be like $4,000, basically.
Around 5,000, I think.
Okay, well, dollars. not a $5,000. But it would depend on how much time you spent on it. Like, if you spent months and months creating this, like, all things considered, that's actually not that much money.
Yeah, again, and that's my problem with this. Because the prices are not exactly something that, at least for me, I wouldn't like to, like, oh, I would get this. No, I would like to actually get something else or something better.
It's a bummer that the organizations can't, like, as a prize, like, we're going to get you connected with an international publisher for your game. Like, that would be something really cool.
Yeah, the other prizes in the contest, at least for best video game, are also a trip to E3 in 2019 and an Autodesk license. Which I don't really know about Autodesk, don't know how it works, but it's something, but it's not like really, really that great, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe in some ways it's kind of about getting your name out there and getting noticed. I mean, for what it's worth, I'm sure whoever wins this competition, there will be news articles that will cover the game and so forth, and if the game is available for download or for purchase somewhere at that point, maybe that would be good for it, but, you know... I get what you're saying. Like, the prizes are not, like, necessarily... I mean, only one person gets to win, too. What about all the other people that spend their time on this? So, I don't know. Maybe this would be something that folks who already have games that they're working on, maybe something they can try to get in on to leverage their games a little more. But I like that they're trying to do something to, you know, get people motivated in other countries. But I totally get what you're saying, ActDeft. I'm not sure this is enough.
No, and you're right. It's a good initiative. It's not something like really, really bad, because if people can take advantage of this, it's good.
And Bobby in chat, for what it's worth, Bobby Black Wolf in chat says 1,000 is actually a prize amount for game jams here in the U.S. for first place. So it's in line with other things. So, you know, maybe at the end of the day, it's more about the exposure than it is about the actual cash prize.
Although, let me ask you this. Do you know the game, or have heard of the game Militant?
No.
It's a game that is already available on Steam and PlayStation 4, and it won the first year of this initiative, of this contest.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, not exposure, I don't think so.
All right. Fair enough. Fair kind of way. All right, ActDeft. Well, thanks for the call and, you know, the update on what's going on in places that aren't necessarily the ones where we live. So.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Take care, buddy.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Kaijudo kind of with another thought there saying, may not look like a lot, but it's a great start. Sometimes you have to crawl before you fly. Well, I mean, yes and no. I also get the perspective of, yeah, but I still have to support my family. So, but, you know, as far as that whole, like, if it's a hobby, if it's something I do in my spare time, you know, maybe this is a way to kind of elevate that hobby into a career. I don't know. Anyway, with that, we are going to wrap up for the night, and that's going to do it for calls. But if you didn't get through, you can always still send us an email. Participate@orangelaundryradio.com is the place to send us an email. We do read the tweets and all that as well, twitter.com/OLR. But I think for now, we are going to wrap up. And I always like to towards... Wait. Any other last-minute stories? I don't want to...
I mean, we can talk about... Battlefield 5 was announced this week.
Oh, my God. We really didn't cover that anywhere else, did we?
But, I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's going to be World War II this year.
Okay.
And then they're going to... one thing that they promised, that there's not going to be a premium pass this time. So you don't have any, like, DLC or anything like that. And there's not going to be any loot boxes that are going to have... game affecting items in it. So if there's anything that's going to be in the game, it's going to be cosmetic stuff, I guess. I don't think they're doing Battle Royale. It didn't sound like they're doing Battle Royale. And there's a single player campaign to take that, Call of Duty.
So definitely, Battlefield and Call of Duty are like different games this year. It's not just like the same fucking thing. So interesting too that it's EA that's doing the game where they kind of backed off of loot boxes.
Well, I trust EA as far as I could throw them, and I'm sorry. Like, I still.
Fair enough.
There's going to be shady shit somewhere.
Fair enough. All right. Well, as I always say at the end of Orange Lounge Radio, thank you very much for supporting the show. If you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, or even if you hated it, maybe you know somebody that would like it. So help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here, we can't air them. So make sure you tell a friend or whoever might be interested in this show. Also, a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Play goes a very long way. And I always say that. And there's not a lot of new reviews that are popping up. So if you do have 15 seconds to write a review, I'd really appreciate it.
Do I need to pay for an advertisement?
Sure. If you're offering free for me advertising. I didn't say it was free. I said free for me. So
actually, I'm considering making little banners. So if anyone has a form or something and wants to promote the show.
Yeah.
Hit me up. I'll probably have something done by the end of the week.
Sweet. All right. And I think that's it for that. So let's get around to final thoughts for the night. Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is hopefully I'm going to get to play all this VR stuff that I downloaded on my PlayStation 4. Because now it's all tricked out with VR stuff. So we just need to play those things.
My final thought is I'm going to be back on Twitch tonight. I've been taking a month break because of the other game I was playing and just, you know, life stuff. So I'll be excited to be back. So twitch.tv/RobRoberts. I appreciate all those follows, subscribes, biddies, all that good stuff. We're going to play Hyrule Warriors tonight. My poll closed and Hyrule Warriors won. So we'll be there soon. Last but not least, Dark Sakura.
Neurotypical people don't make sense. And then I'm going to go harass your cat.
Yeah, Mr. Smush.
He's singing the song of his people.
Yeah, he's being a big
baby. It's called I've Been Fed, But I'm Lying.
He's being a big baby. All right, that's it. We're out of here for the night. We will be back to do it in 7 days. So have a great week. And for those of you that have the day off tomorrow, have a good time staying up all night tonight. Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.